Call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Weaver?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Boyle?
Here. Okay, first up, we don't really have a need for our executive session as it stands right now, so we will put that off. So that takes us to the minutes of the meeting of January 19, 2007. Anybody like to move those minutes?
Yeah, I'll move them.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Mayor, I do. If we could go to page 11, please, on the recreation fees. I would just like to have added to those minutes that I did ask the director about eliminating the charges to the senior citizens' fees, if that would be detrimental. And I believe the director's response was, no, it would not. I'd like to be that to be reflected, if I could.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Page 6, two things at the bottom of the merging of the municipal court, where it says we are still required to have judge, public defender, and prosecutor, which is paid for by the Mansfield Township. That's incorrect. I thought we had to provide for our own defender. I think it should be court administrator.
Judge, court administrator.
That is correct.
And then also, at the top of that very same page, just, you know, for the record, where it says Councilman Cioni suggested placing the audio portion, I actually approached the councilman and the manager and was told to seek approval from council at closing remarks, and I never had that opportunity, so maybe change it to the Legislative Committee suggested placing. Thank you. Originally started with my request.
Okay. Anything else on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next we have correspondence, three pieces, one from the Patron Township, one from the Board of Adjustment, and one from the community of Lumberton.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second. Okay. Is there any discussion on any of these pieces of correspondence?
Yes, there is.
Mr. Higgins.
That would be the resolution from the Patron Township?
Certainly.
I think that we need to do our own. The resolution from the Patron Township is asking for a freeze on the county open space tax for their municipality. I think that we should either do our own or file suit and concur with this for our municipality also.
I second that.
Well, before we go there, we have a motion. We'll get that in just a second, but I agree with you completely on that.
I do have a question, though, in regards to that. On the bill list, we're paying open space tax for the county of $88,192. Is that a quarterly payment?
Yes.
Okay.
So that would be about $352,000 a year.
Okay.
Any other discussion on any of the correspondence? All in favor of receiving and filing?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Higgins, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I would like to make a motion that we draft our own resolution along the lines of the Patron Township and ask for a freeze for our county open space tax.
I'll second.
For this year.
Would you like that resolution sent also to all other municipalities?
Yes, I would,
Warren?
Please.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this? Roll call, please. I'm sorry. We can do that voice. All in favor. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petitions, and statements, testimony from guests that is not on the agenda.
Hi. Christina Wojtkowski, 24 South Prospect Street.
What can we do for you, Mrs. Wojtkowski?
Okay. As you know, I attended the reorg meeting, but I couldn't see the resolutions until they appeared on the website. And I have a problem with quite a few of them. I find they are not budget friendly, the appointments, the professional appointments, and they are not community friendly. I would like to pick on one in particular, the municipal engineer. And I don't expect you to remember from a month ago, so I brought you copies.
Did you give one to Pat?
I gave him two.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So what I would like to know from the mayor and council, on this particular resolution, if you read just the shaded areas, could you tell me, please, why the governing body approved a blanket scope of services for the municipal engineer with no defined scope at that, that empowers the manager to spend up to $45,000 without getting council's approval?
I don't believe that is the case. With anything that the engineer would do, we would have to submit a scope of services for and be approved. This is just for budgetary.
Look at the second paragraph in the shaded area.
In the RFP itself, the base proposal, what's provided in that is explained. Explain that.
The language in the resolution is what matters. It's on the website. It's our portal for information. This resolution, by voting on it, they overrode an ordinance that it took us almost 2 years to put into place when we changed the municipal engineer from a managerial appointment to, I was running, so you'll excuse me for my short breath, to a council appointment. And this resolution overrides that. Also, the resolution that we passed for a scope of services is overridden by this resolution alone for this year.
Do you agree with that assessment? Or any comments on it?
Well, maybe I'll
let
Rich go ahead.
If I may, clarify. The resolution here awarded Suburban Consulting Engineers a contract in accordance with their proposal. In the terms of their proposal, it says for the general engineering services, A, B, and C is supplied.
Now, okay. Now, may I remind you of a conversation from the last meeting?
May I please finish just...
No, because I'm not buying. may I remind you of a conversation that took place in the last meeting about some surplus missing from the sewer utility, and Mr. Cushing told us, well, council approved it. They voted on the budget. Same thing here. This is plain language. It's voted on. It becomes law.
As I was saying, the terms and conditions in his RFP state what he's required to do. The not to exceed amount was the same amount that was done in 2009. That is for budgetary purposes. In 2009, on the general municipal engineering side, we spent the same amount. We received additional funds for escrow for projects above and beyond general engineering. For those instances, he was required to provide a scope of services.
Okay, I was polite and listened to you. Now, Mr. Cushing, would you please read the second shaded paragraph and tell me if I'm wrong?
I'm wrong about what?
That this resolution can empower the manager to spend up to $45,000 without seeking approval from the mayor and council.
Well, the engineer, let me just get it from Rich. The engineer, I assume, when he works on the general provision, the not to exceed 45,000, submits vouchers?
Yes. He gets approval and submits vouchers.
So the vouchers come to council.
And what happens to the scope of services for the $45,000?
Well, as I understood it, there was a, and Rich, correct me in terms of what the process is here, but he would be called upon, like he shows up every, what is it, Thursday?
Every Thursday.
Yeah, and shows up for that. If there are problems on a day-to-day basis, I assume, Rich, that that's what he does in terms of that. And then he submits a voucher.
And where do we have that in writing? Because I looked at the numbers last year, that number was 26,000, not 45,000.
Okay, I'm not.
His RFP dictates his hourly rate, his base service rate, and the scope of services.
And is that what all of you voted on?
Yes.
I wasn't in favor of the municipal engineer.
So up to 45,000, council does not get a scope of services.
Correct, because it's considered general municipal engineering, day-to-day engineering.
To do what?
Whatever.
Is there a description?
Yes, it explains it in there. Maintenance of tax maps, general engineering oversight.
Does it explain it in the contract as well?
The contract refers to the scope of services provided in the proposal.
Okay, then I have another question. I really submit, I would like these resolutions to be amended to a language that everybody can understand and that is clear, that cannot be misinterpreted towards the end of the year when monies are spent. Another item, the municipal attorney, only three of you voted on that. The language in the resolution, I was here at the reorganizational meeting. There was talk about two different proposals. The language in the resolution and the date, are you aware that you voted on the higher proposal?
Yes.
On the higher of the two?
There were three proposals for municipal attorney.
No, I'm talking about Gephardt and Kiefer strictly.
For the municipal attorney?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had three total proposals.
No, from Gephardt and Kiefer you had two, because...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
But according to the resolution that's posted to the website, you voted on the higher of the two proposals.
There was one proposal, and then we reduced it. And so what are you saying?
The resolution states the date of the first submitted proposal, which was higher.
And that's...
As amendment,
That language and that date is required to be in compliance with the purchasing and pay-to-play laws. You have to date the date you received the first sealed proposal.
Okay, and that is reflected in the contract, because I submitted six OPRA requests yesterday. I would like to see the contract.
The pay-to-play law says you have to refer to the date the initial proposal, sealed proposal, was sent.
Okay, now to the third point, because I feel that the municipal manager has to give information that is clear for everybody to understand. It has to be accurate, and it has to be complete. According to this resolution, several of them, that information is not complete. The resolutions for the appointment for the prosecutor and the public defender state clearly the financial terms. All the others are not too clear. The auditor states total for the year, but I asked a question if that is broken down, that amount is broken down for the audit report of 2009, and then whatever audit services are provided during the year of 2010, the resolution does not break that amount down. Also, in the case of the municipal attorney, the fee schedule is not in the resolution. If it is in the other resolutions, I don't see why it shouldn't be there, especially since that is where we're getting our information. And I have a request, suggestions, of course it's up to council, to amend those resolutions and ultimately amend the minutes so the community understands what they actually mean. In addition to that, at the last meeting, I requested that the bill list would be separated, and I would like to request now that the bill list be posted to the website, like other municipalities are doing.
Proposed bill list, you mean, or the ones after it's approved?
Oh, after it's approved.
Okay.
After it's approved. Who is the treasurer in the borough?
The tax collector.
Okay. So here I have the way I would like to suggest the resolutions to be amended, so the amounts are in there. Oh, and by the way, also with Suburban, they also do our sewer engineering. In that resolution, you have $20,000 there, the same terms as in the municipal engineering. That wasn't there before. You have a base. The similar thing that you have with the municipal engineer for $45,000 with the sewer utility. It wasn't there in the past.
That's correct. We did that for budgetary purposes this year, so we know what we have to budget for.
But there will be a scope of services.
The $20,000 for the engineering is on the same terms and conditions as the $45,000 for the municipal engineering.
Okay, and this year are we going to start to have scope of services for the hourly work from the municipal attorney as well?
Yes, for anything above and beyond the base services, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Bob Smoller. I'm a taxpayer here in Washington Borough. And I'm here tonight with a relatively simple request. I'd like to ask the council not to raise our taxes. Why? I looked at the internet and I have the general tax rates for Warren County. The very highest tax rate of all in Warren County is town of Belvedere. The second highest is town of Washington Borough. Belvedere is known throughout this county as a place people do not want to move to because you can't afford to live there. I don't want that to happen to Washington Borough. I want to be able to, I think the other people want to be able to sell your home when you want to be able to sell it. Also found on the website the annual debt statement. And that could contain a reason why our taxes seem to be so high. Our total gross debt is over $27 million, composed of schools about $7.8 million, the sewage is about $9.4, which is self-liquidating, I understand, and other bonds and notes is almost $11 million. Basically, what I'm asking is, I see foreclosures happening in Washington Borough. I know of people that have to choose between paying their sewer bill, tax bill, or feeding their family. And I think that is something we don't want to do to the good people of hometown friendly Washington. And so I would like to recommend the following. We have 3 to 4 schools in this borough. Schools account for a large percentage, at least over 50% of our taxes. Could there be some way that we could look at means of perhaps consolidating those schools? So perhaps we're not paying so much since they represent such a great portion.
Mr. Smoller, if I may.
Yes, sure.
Councilman Housel has suggested a resolution that would suggest to the state of New Jersey to allow the combination of school districts to get rid of as many of them as possible.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
That is something that is in its infancy.
Great. Also suggest you might want to consider, I don't know all the ramifications of it, but you might want to consider refinancing the debt. I understand you can't refinance it if you're going to be needing it again in 8 years or something like that. If you can refinance over a longer period because of this great debt that we have, perhaps over a longer period, we're going to have to raise the taxes.
Again, that is something else that has been discussed.
Great. I know that state aid was applied for last year. I know it's going to be harder to get this year, but I'm sure you're going to try to do that.
Again, I was going to say this for council comments. I was in Assemblyman Eric Peterson's office today talking with him about that, just that very thing. He said that he should not expect there to be any extraordinary aid this year whatsoever, and as far as any general state aid, he expects it to be greatly reduced if there is any.
That's what I understood, too. It doesn't hurt to...
Can you use a microphone?
Is it turned on? Is that any better?
I can't hear you when you're...
Not even near you.
You don't want
them right
near
you. No, you don't want them right near you.
Is that any better?
No.
Okay. Mr. Smoller.
And Also, I know it costs, I have understood it, between $100,000 and $200,000, so it may not be practical right now, but at some point we should consider doing a reassessment. So the taxes are fair for everyone. Some people have been zeroed in, living here a number of years, have zeroed in a certain level, and the new people that move in have to pay at whatever market rate is, so they would be paying a higher tax rate. And lastly, I just want to say that my request basically is a plea for the people in Washington Borough to keep taxes as low as possibly can. We want to be represented in our concerns. Our founding fathers, of course, said no taxation without representation, so we want the representation, especially in this economic climate that we have. And I thank you very much for your kind attention.
Okay. Before you sit down, if I may address a little bit. In the conversation that I had with Assemblyman Peterson today, he was familiar with the Borough of Washington, our troubles, and our budget. And he agrees that the Borough of Washington and the state of New Jersey are in exactly the same position, just the state of New Jersey is in it on a greater scale. He has pledged to give whatever support he can and to help us in any way that he can, as have our other state legislators. But we are at a position, really, that the way to reduce the budget is to cut the services. So I just want you to understand that. There are many things that we are required to do, whether it be by state mandate or by contract through the unions. You know, we have to pay our debt. We have to pay our employees. We have to pay our bills. And, you know, I'm sure there are some small cuts that we can make, but I think it would be a pipe dream to expect anything huge to come down the pipe as far as a cut goes without a cut of a major service.
I think the three things you agree with me about are things that you're working on, the consolidation.
Right.
And the other things that could definitely help.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, if I can just add one thing to that.
Sure, just 1 second. And understand, too, that the wheels of the state of New Jersey, which has to approve a lot of this, turn very slowly. Mr. Seahawk.
Mr. Smoller, yes. You talked about...
I cannot hear you.
Okay. I'll speak louder. Mr. Smoller, you had mentioned the... reassessment, you know, townwide reassessment. We actually looked into that about 2 years ago. Basically, there's two ways to do it. The county can order it if the ratio gets to a certain point, at which you could space the payments out over 5 years that we have to pay, or we can, as a governing body, we can vote to do it ourselves. But the difference is we don't have the ability. We have to pay it all off in that 1 year. So that's physically impossible to do at this time. So that's some of the rationale, and we did look down that path like 2 years ago.
I have another point, if I can. But going back to your suggestion about the schools, and also this is something I'm interested in, and another thing I've looked into is, as it stands now, all three schools all have separate curriculums. And that is a huge expense because they cannot purchase in bulk for textbooks. And if they all coordinated their curriculums, they would be able to purchase bulk also at the OSA. So, yeah, there's work that can be done there.
Okay. And I'll make a comment, too, regarding the schools. I was going to say it in the council remarks. It's missing from your recap report, and it's missing actually from the minutes, too, I think. But I had requested that you look into the shared services between the municipal buildings and the local schools. Like janitorial, building, landscape, and all that sort of stuff. So I've asked like three times now, so if you could just try and look into that, especially now since theirs was voted down, you know, maybe it would reap savings on their end so that they could do some of their improvements, albeit only a little bit, and then also maybe we could get some savings as well. So if you could remember to add that to recap in somewhere, that maybe there's some things that we can do with them, since our taxes are going to those local schools. I'm not talking to high school or anything, but Memorial, Taylor Street, those schools.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Judge?
Good evening, everyone. I'm Ed Palmer. I'm the judge here in the ministry.
Were you going to talk about the court services, sir?
Yes.
If I may, we have that on the agenda. We'll talk about that shortly.
All right.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Mark Hunter, I'm up on top of South Lincoln. I'd like to address a couple things that have been brought up here tonight. To Mr. Valentine's point that the three schools don't use a shared curricula, well, it's because they all run different grades. How are you going to have seventh graders using first grade textbooks, first graders using fourth grade textbooks? You can't buy textbooks in bulk if you're not buying textbooks for all the same grade. We've got three schools in the borough. Granted, only two of them are in the same district. We can't share a curriculum. We can't share a curriculum across different grades.
But we could through communities, and I think maybe that's the point Mr. Valentine was trying to make.
Okay. And to the point of the $27 million in debt and the cutting of services, where's the debt? Our taxes have gone up every year. We've got a borough manager who has no vested interest in the property that he manages. You're not a borough resident, correct, Mr. Phelan?
That's correct.
That's correct? Mm-hmm. So we have a borough manager who's got no vested interest in the borough that he's managing.
Neither has our last two managers.
Okay, case in point. So we've got a history of not having a vested interest in the property that's being managed. There's one problem I see.
Well, I just interrupt you real quickly. Councilman Fioni at the last meeting requested a list of that debt to be placed onto the website, so that is something that's being worked on so that everyone can see exactly where our debt is.
Along with the debt, I'd like to see a forensic accounting of the borough, because there's a lot of money that's, everybody's going, well, where's this money going? We're paying taxes. You're cutting services. I thought the purpose of merging the borough and the township police departments was to save money.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and yet we're in deeper debt now.
Certainly not because of the consolidation. That's
well,
saving
no,
money
but
in our budget.
Doesn't seem to have helped us. That's my point.
It has because the tax rate would have been even higher.
So we pay more in taxes than we actually have. Is that what you're saying? You want to do a 30% tax increase when we're already paying the second highest taxes in the county?
That's why we do things like the shared services so that we're not paying that 30.
And you mentioned a forensic accounting. Mr. Higgins, was it 3 years ago that was brought up and did not occur?
Yes, it was. And the reason was $35,000 to pay for it.
I'll pay $35,000 to find out where $27 million went. Gladly. Write you a check. $35,000 to figure out where $27 million went? No brainer. Done deal. So, I would seriously like to see it. That's all I've got, Mayor. It needs to be said.
Thanks, sir. Yes, sir.
He asked questions and I didn't hear any answers.
Sir, we, for the record, would you state your name and address,
Ralph
please?
Martin, 103 Broad Street. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But you hear a man get up like that and speak, and you guys just sit there and clam up, and then they go to the next question. This goes on all night long. Maybe I'm out of order. I don't know. I'd rarely leave, but that's the way it seems to us staying here. You don't get the full picture. He asks the questions. There's no answers coming for it. He addressed the, the manager. He doesn't even live in town. He works at home. I don't know what's going on. All these people got all these questions. And you sit there and you say, well, what's next on the agenda? Jesus, answer. Get one thing completed.
What question is it that we didn't answer?
Come on, maybe I'm the only
person. My name is Sinandarisha, 25 West Warren Street. He just offered to pay for the forensic accounting.
Exactly. And you don't want that, right?
How about that? Sounds good. I think it sounds great.
Oh, boy.
It's a room.
I think
it's great.
Never mind. Yeah,
people want to
pay for it,
that
would be great.
You said it.
Great idea. Perhaps the gentleman spoke figuratively rather than literally. I know people want to pay.
I have to know where it went. They don't want to go.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak during the audience portion?
Well, I would like to address that comment. Is there any way that we can find out just exactly how much it will cost?
We would have to go out for another bid, correct?
We have no general cost. We have to solicit proposals for forensic audit. That would be just like what we did for our recent proposals. I just have to...
What he's saying is that we would have to go out for proposals for an accounting firm to do a forensic audit to give us how much it would cost the town.
Well, that doesn't sound bad.
Okay.
Sir.
Three quotes.
Rich McGuire, 234 West Washington. I actually have a little good news in a bad economy. But
well, wonderful. That's welcome.
Well, referring to Washington Celebrates America. With the downturn in the economy, a lot of towns have canceled their fireworks. So with the help, actually, Mrs. Higgins contacted a fireworks company who's willing to do our show on the 4th of July for our budget. But I was told I had to come before you. I know we have to go through a resolution process. But somebody said that with the laws as they pertain to the borough on Sunday may restrict some of the activities in regards to Washington Celebrates America. So before we actually go to print to say we're going to do this on the 4th, is there any restrictions that you see?
I'm not aware of any. Mr. Phelan, are you aware of any, or Mr. Cushing?
No, you're talking about just shooting off fireworks.
No, no, no.
In the fair.
Maybe you can help me out.
We have ordinance against garage sales, vendors in town, and that kind of day on Sunday. So I think you just want council's permission to make sure they can go ahead with the activities on Sunday before they go to spring. So
with that, and without going forward with the resolution, just I wanted to make sure we could say we're going to have it on the 4th, and then at a later time we're going to do our resolution.
We adopt the resolution in May for the fireworks.
Okay, and but it would take a resolution, I assume, to delay those requirements for Sunday?
No.
Just
seeking approval to move ahead with the festivities on a Sunday. We'll do the formal resolution later, because there are requirements, Rich, right, that we haven't gotten through yet.
Yeah, insurance.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, I don't see any issue with that whatsoever. Anybody have any objections?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Rick Feldman, 19 Prosper Way. I think it's become obvious over the last two meetings, a meeting that we discussed several opportunities that you thought you had to reduce services and also to reduce costs, that the council is taking a rather scattershot approach to how we're going to fix the problems that confront this community. There's no long-term plan. There's obviously no short-term plan. You sit and you say that you know that the abolition of the police department saved us money. Have you seen that anywhere? Do you know for a fact that you saved money by getting rid of the police department? I say that rhetorically.
I know the plan in answer.
Okay. You've done nothing, nothing at all, but cut services to this community for the last 5 years, and you've raised taxes over and over and over again. And this community deserves more. You are destroying the fabric of what this community is about. You have cut the frequency and the types of garbage pickup that we have. As I said, you've abolished the police department with no evidence savings, yet we've lost all community control. You cut back on recreation, you're laying employees off, you're thinking about getting rid of a court system, you're thinking about getting rid of the fire department, you're thinking about and spoken to or already reduced the hours of the library. What's going to be left? There will be nothing in this community but houses for sale that will not sell. Your decisions are made in a cacophony of inaccurate information. No one here can account for the movement of money within the accounts. You spend thousands of dollars on an accounting system that not even the manager knows how to operate. He's admitted openly that he can't give you information. He has to get it from a part-time CFO. He's openly admitted to the misuse and misappropriation of funds by previous managers with the tacit approval of this council. We learn of thousands of dollars being moved out of municipal sewer surplus account to fund current expense, but no one here can tell us where it went. If you have a budget and you go over budget and you move money from one account to another, why did you move it? Shouldn't you people know about it? You're the one voting on these issues. You vote blindly. Take the blinders off. Why don't you question the countless errors that are made in the information that's presented to you on a meeting-by-meeting basis? When are you going to take off the muzzle of silence and start questioning inaccurate information? You people sat here for an hour and a half at the last meeting trying to get numbers on a court system, and then you never got them. Your answer was to bring somebody else in. You keep putting off the decisions that you make because you don't have information. Is this any way to run a company, I believe, was the question that was asked once? You must be held accountable for the actions that you have initiated, the massive debt that we now have. You reduce the revenues. You just admitted that you're going to reduce our services even more, yet we know our taxes are going up. What are we doing to get revenue in this community? What are we doing for grants in this community? The recreation director hasn't written a grant for the 12 months that he's been on board, yet we heard that was what was going to be done. We heard that the borough manager was going to be writing grants, yet no grants have come in. The only grants or loans, low-interest loans that have come into this town have been by the volunteers that you shunned aside.
$550,000 in extraordinary aid we got last year was a grant, sir.
Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd
into the general services, and please, Mr. Feldman has the floor now.
The community deserve better. The people here deserve better. We shouldn't have to come and beg for you not to raise our taxes. If you want to raise our taxes, some of it's understandable, but give us our services. Don't take away our services and then tax us for something we don't have. Thank you.
I'm Rachel Blanche. I'm from Carlton Avenue. I don't know if you read this in the Sunday paper from the parade or not, but it says, he says consolidation isn't about reducing the budget, but rather maximizing efficiency. In fact, there's little evidence to suggest that mergers save cash. While some governments have realized modest savings, most see costs stay flat or even go up after a merger. And this is according to Mark Holzer, Dean of Rutgers University, which I think everybody realizes is in the state of New Jersey. He says, people don't want to lose their local control. They don't want to lose local identity. There is a reason we have so many small municipalities to begin with. And that was in the Sunday paper. Maybe you people should read it.
Keith Gonzalez, 93 West Johnson Street. On a little bit of a lighter note, as you look around the room here, you're faced with a room full of your taxpayers. Try to be patient if they ask questions. Try to explain to them what an RFP is. They don't know this stuff, and this is what they want to know. So they're going to ask questions. The meetings are going to go longer. These are the people who pay the taxes. So just be aware of that. Don't be impatient with them. If Sue can't hear, if Mrs. Sloan can't hear, speak louder. They are your taxpayers.
I apologize if I've been impatient.
Okay, thanks.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening. Terry Finnegan, 23 Humans Avenue. I think it's probably obvious to everybody that all levels of government in our country at this time are facing sort of a crisis in confidence. And that certainly is probably true in our community. I don't have any, idea about how to totally overcome that. But one thing I do think is important is that we actually follow the procedures that are supposedly in place for the governments that we do have. So our particular form of government is called the council manager form of government, and it is guided by, as my understanding, the municipal charter law. Is that right, Mr. Cushing?
That's correct, Mr. Cushing.
Okay. So
the Faulkner Act.
So under the municipal charter law, it lists Section 4069A-95. Which spells out pretty carefully what the duties of the borough manager are. And one problem I have in our community is people don't understand that the borough manager is the chief executive officer of this community. not Mr. Mayor. And I mean no disrespect to you, but you are not the chief executive officer.
No, sir, I am not.
But I get a letter from the mayor saying, here's the accomplishments of the community at the end of the year. Well, that's all well and good, and I'm happy for the information. But the municipal charter law specifically said, I will read it to you, at least once a year, the borough manager must make an annual report of his work for the benefit of the council and the public. I have never seen in my 15 years, I've lived here since 1995, 15 years, a single annual report from the borough manager of Washington. Never. Never. I see things from the mayor, but the mayor's not the chief executive officer. And this requires that you make an annual report and that the public be able to see it.
If I may, I'm almost completed with it. I'm finishing the grammatical errors and composition of the overall report.
I'm actually very happy to hear that, okay? Because I think that's one step forward, right? That to me is a because people have to know, well, who actually is in charge, what's the lines of authority, and so forth and so on in our government. The other thing that the municipal charter law does stipulate, and you've heard some people have some problems with it, is that in a council manager form, the manager should be a resident of this community unless the council decides otherwise. Now, for whatever reason, you must have decided otherwise. But I think you're getting the sentiment that people don't think that's the best idea, because we seem to feel that you need to have a vested interest in the pain and sacrifice that we're going to have to make in order to dig this community out of its hole. And that has to be shared by the people, as you all are, our residents, right? So our chief executive officer, it seems like, well, gee, you know, you ought to be here with us too. If it's a great place to live, how come you can't live here, right? And I'm not talking about whatever happened with yours. That's fine. The council decided what it decided. But I'm saying to the council, that's an important, very, very important symbolic kind of thing that needs to be done. And the last thing I'd say is if you really want to get back people's confidence in the government, one big step you could take is finish the garage.
If I may address that, the builder of the garage was found to be in default, and the bonding company is now in charge of finishing the garage. You know, I can't go into a lot of detail because it is, what would be the right word? Litigation?
We're still negotiating the requirements that they have to finish, start date, end date, liquidated the damages, etc. Mm-hmm. We have recent correspondence as of Friday.
Terry, with all due respect, it's been a star-crossed process. It hasn't been pretty, but there's been things that happen, like the contractor got involved.
Well, the things that happen seem to be costing the taxpayers a lot of money. And we, you know, whatever happened, happened, but all we know is it cost us a lot more money. How much is the total cost of that building?
$2.7 million, I believe it is.
$2.7 million. Well, that's, you know, a lot of money for that building.
But it is now in the hands of the bonding company to
I didn't know that. The public doesn't get informed of these things. And it's always, oh, well, it's a matter of litigation. Okay? Well, I'm sorry. We come before the litigation. We are the people who need to know. We have to have confidence in what's going on with our leadership, right? So you can't wait and not give us any information. You know, all I see is the garage is boarded up. When is that thing ever going to... So I'm not going to belabor that.
I understand your sentiments and the lack of information on that, but we are bound by state law in certain aspects of that, you know, as to what can be discussed publicly and what cannot be discussed publicly. So I just want you to understand that.
But at least we could be told the garage is going to be finished by such and such a date, right?
We don't know such and such a date as of this moment.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
My name is Joe Presser, 92 Carlton Avenue. The last meeting, we were talked about the sewer treatment plant. And we had the money in escrow
correct, for there, or where does it go? We could borrow against it?
Are you referring to the surplus?
Yes.
Yes. The law states you're permitted to use surplus money from sewer. The law says, the law says you're permitted to use surplus money from sewer to offset your current budget, but we stopped that process in 2009.
But how did we go $300,000 in debt on that?
This is from prior years.
Can you give us information on what year we went past our surplus?
I don't have that in front of me.
Well, I've been losing sleep over this. I'm not trying to figure out how a utility company goes in the hole. I just can't comprehend on how and how long ago did we start going in the hole. I would really, as a taxpayer, would love to understand what we had in equity in there, and when we went in debt, and how many years ago it was, and I believe we need to know that.
A lot of the information you're requesting is on the current audits and financial statements that are on our website. The financial statements show as of December
3rd. Would I be able to understand it?
If you want to look at that and call me, I'd be happy to explain it to you. But what it does is it gives you a snapshot of all borough finances as of December 31st of that particular year. Where the money is, what current balances are.
So, but obviously since you've been here, we were already in debt to them?
Yes. This is problems that have been going on for many, many years.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not a financial guy, but let me see. I think I understand in a general sense, and Rich, correct me if I'm wrong. When the sewer system was set up 10 years ago, whatever it was, there was somewhat of a surplus. And by the way, can you hear me, Mrs. Sloan? I want to make sure.
I'll try to talk louder.
There was a surplus that was created. So you had a whole new self-liquidating utility.
Right, so something broke, we have money.
And so what happened is that over the years, there's always pressure, obviously, to keep the rates down. And again, counsel, if I get off base or I make a mistake in this regard, correct me, because I'm kind of doing it from memory and sort of putting stuff together. But if I get off base, please correct me. So there's always a pressure not to raise rates, which is understandable and responsive, obviously, to what folks are saying here tonight. In addition, because it's a self-liquidating utility and it serves the entire community, certain funds, when the surplus was there, it was decided, in order to keep taxes down, to borrow, if you will, and that's kind of it's not like...
I understand that, but you know what? I look at it, if my bank account has zero in it, how do I borrow against it?
Yeah, well, it's like you had two accounts.
Explain to me, we use that surplus up, where are we coming up, well, how do we get, we shouldn't be in debt, it should be zero balance.
We heard all this last week, and if, correct me if I'm, three council people asked Rich that you were going to explain $329,000 is missing since 2006. You were supposed to come in this council meeting and explain where that money went.
And I have that information.
Well, I think
I'm confused, but how can you, council members, how can you borrow against something that's not there? How can you take money out of a surplus that is not there? Explain that to me. I'm looking at all you guys who took money out. You guys approved it, okay?
If I could do this. We received...
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be gruff or anything. I'm just very upset. You know, I'm very upset with this.
Right. I was going to talk about before we got to that and the agenda still was
up. I'm glad we're bringing it up early. Okay, Dave?
Okay. We all received a report from our financial advisor. It was emailed to us this week. There was 24 pages. I took out page 12, the important one, talking about the sewer rates. Now, keep in mind that the rate was raised in 2006 from $43 to $45. This report right here it goes from 1999 to projected 2005. And it lists the surplus per year. In 99, there was a surplus of $342,000. In 2002, there was a surplus of $904,000. At the current rate that this report was being done at, our financial advisor told us that in 2005, we would have a deficit of $97,000, thus causing the sewer rate to be raised in 2006. Now, if I can, with your current numbers? Currently, right here, if we took the payment, the sewer payment, up to $46, we would realize an increase of $45,000. Now, the question is, did we lose that $298,000, is what it was, Rich, $298,000, that we're in the hole right now, did we lose that from 2005 to currently? That's the question I have. If that's the case, we're showing about $56,000 a year we're running in the red. But if we raise the sewer rate to $52, which is $7, that'll take care of the $298,000 that we're in debt right now, that we're in the red.
And start adding tiny little bit.
If we raise, according to these numbers right here, if we raise the rate $4, we would see an increase of $91,000. So that would give us an average of about $31,000 a year in surplus.
Well, honestly, it scares me that you people will take that money and use it somewhere else, because you did. You know, I have no trust in you guys moving money around. I really don't. And you know, Mr. Feldman brought up accurate numbers. I haven't seen an accurate number in years. And it's true. It's gotten out of control. I love Washington. I really do. And it's sad because I drove around and the houses that are going up for sale. And this is a big investment that people make, as you all know. You live here. And you know, it's going right down. And Mr. Mayor, I think I think that we should really look into having somebody that lives in town to have this as you know, nothing against you. You could care less. You could take everything we have coming to it because you don't have it. But, you know, to see this town go to what it's going to, and to see our money and everything else, our trust is in the council members to really, you've got to take responsibility for this, you know?
If I may I respond?
Hang on. You've got to take responsibility for the stuff that's going on, whether it was uneventful, whatever, but you have to be held accountable for money going out of this town, okay? Plain and simple. So everybody needs to really stand up and stop the BS. Looked into this. We got to have hardcore facts. A plan. We need to have a plan. I mean, not a short term. This is where we want to be in 10 years. This is where we want to be in days. You have a plan for that money. But, you know, we need to sit back and say nobody can touch that money.
That was said back when.
You know, it's very, very serious. It really is. This is not a joking matter. I really like this place, and I'd love to see it, you know, really come back. Thanks for your time. And so,
may I respond?
Yep.
Now, I've been here less than a year, and in these approximately 10 to 12 months, every time something is repaired, something else is found broke. And when I mean that, it might be basic accounting practices, basic finance practices that have never been in place here. There have been tremendous changes. I believe I heard an audience member make reference to dedicated funds. There have been, and I sought and received state approval for just that. There are funds now that when they're in a certain account cannot be touched, cannot be used for anything but what it's dedicated for. we are in the, I would like to take the opportunity to answer this, because I can clearly see this is a concern of everyone.
Absolutely.
There have been changes made internally that have more accountability than has ever been here before, ever. There have been changes with our new CFO, who's only been here a few months, that things that used to take a month are now getting done on a daily basis. We have live numbers. I believe it was Mr. Feldman commented earlier on the Edmund software, which is our financial software. When this originally went in, quite honestly, it was done at a bad time of year, because you never want to do it mid-year, and it was done improperly. Now, not being here, I could sit here all night and speculate as to the hows and whys this happened. I've been brought in to repair things that are broke. They are being repaired. There are reports now in the system that weren't even available 6 months ago. We have accounting now that we've never had here ever. For the first time since its inception here, we use this financial software that this community purchased to run your budget. For the past couple years, my predecessors had used spreadsheets. We have a finance system that does it all for you. It links apples to apples. And just to give you a little
history,
right? And in doing this, we have now identified problems that everyone here can only imagine. Now, we have found, and I believe it was Mr. McGuire questioned where this money went. We found where the money went. It was taken. It's referred to as an interfund. What that means is you take from sewer, and you're permitted legally, by the way, the state allows this, to offset your current fund, your general budget. I stopped that in 2009.
Can I interrupt you there? Can I address that real quick, please, Joe? When we asked about that at the last meeting...
I didn't have it at the last meeting.
We wanted to know, yeah, the question of $298,000, because I believe the counselor over there said that we could have put it in the budget. And when we passed the budget, that's how we passed the resolution to move the money. What year did we do that?
We found that it was transferred by, we looked at all the annual financial statements for the past 5 years. We looked at actual balances provided by our auditor. We looked at our annual debt statements to see where our debt went. I've asked the CFO to compile a list of bullet point items where these funds went.
So you're telling me that we approved the transfers when we approved the budget?
I can't say that without looking at every single resolution that took place in the last.
So how did the money get to where it got to? How did the money get into the budget? That's what they're asking.
Yes.
No,
the
money.
You said an interfund transfer.
But yeah, we didn't do it by resolution. If we did it by budgetary, then we should know what budgets we did it in.
That's correct. I agree 100%.
So
honestly sit here and say council approved it or council denied it, or managers did it without council's knowing. I can't make that.
So we still
don't
know.
But we know do we know what budgets they went into?
Yes. If you look at the annual financial statements and the audits for each year, everything shows you.
What budgets?
It started in 2005. All of this started in 2005, taking surplus from the sewer department, using it to offset to keep the tax rate lower, and never replenishing it.
And not raising the rate.
And not raising the rate, that's correct.
We raised the rate in 2006.
Correct, but if
so
you recall...
So it started in 2005...
You had $97,000 in escrow, correct, 2005?
The projection was $97,000 in the hole.
If I may?
Oh,
In 2000, when the sewer utility went live, the wastewater consultant and the engineer said every 3 to 5 years, this council should revisit the EDU rate and gallons per day allowed. So if changes need to be made, they can be done incrementally. By now, it should have been addressed 3 times. It's been addressed once.
So...
This is what I'm discovering as we're fixing problems.
You know, I have a hard time with people sitting up here. You're going in a hole every year. Does this not come up? You understand what I'm saying? If we're going in a hole, I mean, this is a no-brainer. We have a $3 million garage that we built, and we're $3 million in the hole. We're in the hole here. That money from that garage could have paid this off. I mean... To me, this is a no-brainer. If you don't have the money, you can't spend it. And how can you sit up here and vote for this stuff? When this, we're in a hole, really. Do we ask, was it a necessity for this new garage? Folks?
A new garage?
No, the garage we built,
I'm
look at me and tell me straight
in your question. A new garage, yes. This one,
wait,
yes, no.
Well, what was wrong with the old one? That we couldn't have gone through a couple of years before this? This is taken care of.
The old garage is completely inadequate. It has doors that are falling off.
Okay.
It is in a
terrible... Let me just ask you a question.
It would cost us more to repair the garage at that point than to build a new one.
Let's just say we took $300,000 and repaired it. Come on, guys. We're in the hole. Fiscal responsibility here.
The original proposal for the garage was $600,000.
But how can you...
The estimates we had would have taken more than $600,000 to correct the problems at our garage.
Don't you think that this is more important to taxpayers than to see a new garage? Honestly, folks?
I agree. I have only
Everybody's very quiet.
For a few months here.
Mr. Howell, how about you? What do you think is more responsible, a new garage or our debt that we have in the sewer plant?
Back when Alan Fisher left, we had 4,000.
No,
hold on. See, the problem is you don't want to hear the history of what happened.
I understand
the history.
You know what? All I hear is excuses, okay? I'm tired of hearing past things, okay? Past is over with, okay? We got to go on to the future, now and on, okay? This is the fiscal responsibility that you all are responsible for. These are the numbers that on your budget that you are approving. When you're approving these new barns and everything else to be fire trucks, everything else, I know with the fire truck we needed... You know, but this stuff needs to be in this, and you need to have discussions about this, and go look at things with your eyes, not take everybody's word for granted, because I know I don't need a new garage. I can't afford a new garage. I'd like to do a lot of things, but I can't afford it, because our taxes and everything else are going up because of this fiscal irresponsibility, okay? And we got to change things. I'm glad to see that you're on it, okay? But you are going to get hammered.
As I should.
You are. You're going to get hammered. So expect it.
And I have no problem.
Every one of you to be responsible for this. Because you are. You're literally responsible.
Yes, we are.
Thank you for your time.
Yes,
I apologize for getting wound up, but I'm just...
I agree with you. We are responsible for it, and we are doing our best.
Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Started in 2005,
taking
the money out of the surplus.
For the sewer.
Yes, the sewer surplus. They started taking money out.
Correct.
Okay.
That's at the point where it started running at a deficit.
And at some place that money went, but we don't know where it went yet.
No, it went to offset the current fund.
And how did it get into the current fund?
Not being here, I couldn't answer that question. I don't know.
I'd like to raise a hand. What council people were on the council in 2005 and 2006? Is possible for you? You could ask. Council people do that?
I believe I was here in 2005, but not 6.
So what you're saying is if council people here approved somehow that money, or it was moved illegally.
Interfunds aren't illegal.
I didn't say they weren't, but they have to be an approval. It has to go from one place to another.
That's
not
correct.
Approved.
But let me just clarify your statement. Whether council approved it or not, or whether it was moved without their knowledge, it's a violation of state statute, but it's not a criminal violation. I want to clarify your statement of illegal.
Okay,
it's a violation of statute.
Okay, fine. Then what I would say to you folks is you, or whoever was here, and have been for the last several years, because obviously been going on, are responsible in large part for the problems that we had. And now we know it rests here, because you people haven't been doing your job. You've been rubber stamping, excuse me, Victor, but I'm talking. You've been rubber stamping the pieces of paper that come from the borough manager and not knowing where the heck it's coming from. And maybe if you did, you wouldn't be spending money you don't have. Because we certainly can. Thank you.
Well, I remember back when the sewer thing was being done. And single people, senior citizens, came to this borough meeting.
and we were up in arms that we were paying, going to pay the same rate for one and two people living in the home as people with five kids and all. You can't tell me. I flush my toilet as many times as somebody with four teenage kids in the house. You can't tell me that, okay? And we were told that that money was going to be put in a fund and it would not be touched. We were told that. We were told that by council. We were told that. But that money would be there, so any increases would be a dollar or two. We were promised that when that discussion came up. In fact, there was a concerned citizens committee back then, and we're fighting it. And we were told and promised that that fund would always be there. So there's a thief in town. And it's pretty bad when you got to borrow it from the store.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak?
Going back to this $2.7 million garage, you said the initial budget on that was $600,000?
Approximately, yes.
Okay. Wow. I work under contract every day. If I write a contract for $600,000 and I come back 2 years later and say, okay, now you owe me $2.7 million, you're going to get kicked out the door. Why did we approve $2.7 million on a $600,000 contract? How did that happen? Who had their head up their butt?
Personally, I cannot answer that. I know that there was a change that was mandated by the state of New Jersey to put a wash bay in, which added to the cost of it. I'm sure that wash bay was not a $2 million wash bay, but I can't really answer what the other things that happened with the garage that added to the cost.
$2 million garage, new heating system in a school. Hello? Come on.
May I come up to the, since you're new? Name and address for the record, please.
Trish Kizelnik, 107 North Prospect Street. My question concerning the garage is, it was supposed to be done in March of 2009, correct? Are we collecting on the bond, on
yes.
the bond insurance, on a daily basis?
On November 9th, they were declared in default.
Okay.
Liquidated damages kicked back in. I believe it was to April. I'm just going by memory.
Okay.
They were declared default on November 9th. We've been in constant communication with them. We received notice from them about 3 weeks ago that they officially, because what they have to do is review everything to make
yes.
sure we didn't violate anything.
Them being the bond.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. The bonding agency
yes,
have to review
I,
that.
How much will we get back from this?
It depends on when they get done. It depends on when they get done. If they get done tomorrow, we have a final number. We're working on the start date for the construction, but during this whole time, liquidated damages mm-hmm. is being imposed.
What is
$600
per day.
Per day. That's correct.
Okay, and that's going to go back, you said April, not the March completion date that we were given originally?
They were told it goes back to April.
Back
in
to
correspondence
April.
I sent them personally, it goes back
okay,
to
so
April.
Okay, so we will get that revenue back.
Well, what it'll do is it'll get
it'll,
deducted
yeah,
over the funds we owe them. Correct.
All right. At least that's something.
Is there anyone else?
Mark DeVoe, 136 West Washington. On the garage itself, if you're looking into consolidating or swallowing up the road department into the township, what are you going to do with this new building?
There has been no discussion of consolidation of road
department. I can't hear you.
There has been no discussion of consolidation of road department.
I understand that there was.
To my knowledge.
Okay.
You know, I did speak with the mayor of Washington Township maybe a year ago when we broached the subject, but there was no continuation of that since then. And I did talk about we're getting the new garage. We might as well house everything there. But that's as far as I know that the discussion has gone.
Okay. Next question I have for you. Is it right that we had laid off a borough employee in November or October?
This past
of
one?
A road department personnel.
That happened quite a while ago.
But
we
laid off four pink slips out?
We gave out, we laid off three part-timers and one full-timer.
Okay, but in December, we raised this gentleman's salary?
For January 1.
And a 4% increase for how many years?
The next four.
So can you tell me how can we give a gentleman a raise for doing a job that we can't even give
our money to the people that work here?
Well, we're giving raises to all of our contract employees also. Every employee in the borough of Washington.
And this makes sense to you. That's all I have.
Anyone else?
My name is Simone Urita. I live at 25 West Warren Street. Our taxes are through the roof. When I moved here, my sewer was included in my taxes. Remember that? Now I'm paying $45 a month, and it's going to go up. When I moved here, my taxes were $2,200. Now they're close to $6,000. And they're going to go up. I understand if it's 30%, they'll be close to, $8,000. So, I mean, my husband is unemployed. He's got a daughter in college and a new truck payment. And I'm going to have to put all the bills here. And needless to say, I'm quite concerned and very disappointed in the performance of this town council. And I think it's time, and I said this last time I was here, for some fiscal responsibility.
And that's what we're instituting.
And at a cost of how much to the borough members, the borough citizens here. I mean, you can't get blood from a stone. People are going to lose their homes. And if you don't care, one day it'll be you. Watch. One day it'll be one of you.
It has been me.
And
in the past.
In the past. And you know how it feels?
Yes, I do, ma'am.
Then you have to know how it's going to feel to the rest of these people.
I do.
Think about it. Do something. Don't just sit there.
We are.
I haven't seen it.
Is it a firm in town? We have
accountants
in town, correct?
I'm sorry, we have an auditor who does our books at the end of the year. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, who's keeping track of all our money? Is that somebody in town here?
On a day-to-day basis?
Day-to-day, annual auditing? We've got these businesses in town.
Day-to-day would be the chief financial officer and the treasurer who do the primary part of that.
Would that person stand up?
Our treasurer is here today, but our chief financial officer is not.
Well, we keep referring back to this chief financial officer. I've heard it brought up half a dozen times. Is that a blank chair there next to Mr. Cushing?
We do not normally require our chief financial officer to attend their meetings.
If we're going to keep referring back to, the CFO said, the CFO told me, the CFO this, the CFO that, let the CFO be here to stand on their own 2 feet. Let them be here to back up what we're being told the CFO says.
Okay. Mrs. Thatcher, you wish to address that?
Mr. McDonald, I'd just like to point out, tonight I've been informed that I'm apparently treasurer. I wasn't aware that I was that. I'm the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
Treasurer and the CFO are one of the same position, right?
At the reorganizational meeting, you were appointed as chief financial, as the treasurer.
We're mumbling.
Rude
to me.
Ma'am McDonald, that was changed about a year ago or better with considerable legal expense, I might add. In the last meeting you asked us...
If I may interrupt, what was changed specifically?
The treasurer. Was separated. The treasurer and the tax collector used to be one position filled by one person. We separated that.
Okay.
At a considerable legal cost. So now the tax collector is one position. The treasurer is actually the CFO by local law. In the last meeting, you asked us, the public, to come with ideas, with suggestions of savings. First of all, if we're going to do that, how and when will we have access to the budget workbook so we actually know what we're talking about? The public.
As far as the proposed budget?
Yes. how are we going to make suggestions if we don't know what's in it? The oranges, the town of Orange, has formed a committee of community members of 20 people, in addition to the council people. They're calling it a budget committee, having the public help with it. And what I started earlier to say is, I see cuts being made in areas where some of them I totally agree with, others I'm questioning. I do not see any cuts being made on the professional side. On the contrary, that is what I also try to point out in these resolutions. I see the prices going up. For instance, why are we not looking to mirror what the township is doing? Have one council meeting a month, the second one a workshop meeting, do not require the attorney to be present, negotiate the retainer down. If I remember correctly, because I was part of putting this together, we had goals for the manager when he first came into town. Four different sections, each one of them ran for 3 months. And I believe the one that started in June, I looked at that just the other day because I still have the copies, one of them was for 5 months for the manager to monitor what the municipal attorney is actually doing for the retainer, and in November to come back to council with suggestions what, how the retainer could be negotiated down. Now I understand the attorney has a lot to do, but maybe also because the charter is not being followed the way it should be. We are paying for the manager a considerable amount for ICMA fees. And, well, it's close to $1,000.
I'm not a member of that.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, I was still on council when we interviewed you. That was one of my questions. Absolutely. If you were a member.
And my answer is no. I've never been a member of ICMA. Never have, and I don't ever plan on it.
What's the non-city?
I'm international.
International City Manager, Council of Managers.
I've never been a member ever, and I never plan to, because I, quite honestly, I don't think the cost associated with it is worth the benefits you receive.
Well, I think quite the opposite, because the membership for ICMA is a little under $1,000, or at least that's what it used to be two years ago. It could be a little different right now. And the ICMA offers mentors, offers professional networking, all of these things that we are paying an attorney for that you should, you could get there within the subscription price of the ICMA. And that is why our retainer possibly is higher than any other municipality. On the other hand, you have mentioned several cuts here. I do remember since the year 2008, we did the manager was the deputy clerk, always have been. Now we have a deputy clerk. I do not remember how much we're paying the deputy clerk. So there is an additional expense, but at the same time, less burden on the manager. We used to have a part-time receptionist. Now we have a full-time receptionist. Again, that somehow plays into less of a burden on the manager. The ICMA and other specialists in local government are proposing that the manager very easily can draft resolutions and ordinances in order to save the municipality money, so the attorney doesn't have to do it. By statute, the attorney still has to review them for form and content.
Which we do
in
now.
In addition to that, with the internet nowadays, the League of Municipalities and all these others, they have libraries for resolutions where you can just use the template and just tailor it within a few minutes to fit our municipality. We are still paying full price for resolutions and ordinances. These are all ideas for savings, and they add up.
May I comment on that?
Yes. Right.
The basic ordinances and basic resolutions are part of, in this case, the municipal attorney's responsibility. On a regular basis, if ordinances need to be drafted, they're drafted by me and sent to him for his approval before they get on a meeting. This has been going on since I've been here. With the exception of complex resolutions requested by council, some things that affect the health, safety, and welfare long term, basic ones are drafted by my office and sent to the attorney for review.
Okay, so as part of the goal list, as part of the research that you did for the 5 months, did you come up What was your answer? Does the borough actually need to pay a retainer of $50,000 or $56,000, whatever it is, or could we come down, in my estimation, to about $35,000? That would be a substantial savings, in my view.
There's two sides of that coin, so I can't answer yes or no. My immediate answer is, if you're looking at just the dollar amounts, absolutely. If you're looking at just the dollar amounts.
Cutting the meetings down.
The problem with cutting the meetings down is New Jersey has a law called the Prompt Payment Law. What that means is, within 20 days of receiving a bill for construction-related projects, and they deem construction, demolition, that type of thing, I have to pay that.
Okay, within 20. Not cutting the meetings down. I do realize council needs to get together to approve bills. But cutting down the times of meetings that the attorney needs to attend.
During the professional services interview that was conducted, legally I have no say in professional appointments. No borough manager, no town administrator has any say in professional service appointments.
Well, I will not comment on that right now.
On many occasions I've actually said just that.
I didn't hear it as part of your suggestion. I attended the budget meeting. I attended all the meetings this year so far. I did not hear that as part of the suggestions of savings.
Well, I would never recommend, even at a workshop, because legal action can take place at a workshop.
But discussions are taking place in a workshop.
Correct.
Well, I never heard a discussion about it.
A discussion about having workshops in lieu of two public meetings?
Yes.
Either way, even at workshops, you can still take formal action. And when you can take formal action, when it's open to the public, because it still is a public meeting.
That wasn't my point. Having the attorney come to the meetings only once a month and in order to cut down on expense.
If council wants to create a workshop meeting and a public meeting, we still need to take action at both. Because we need to take action at both, you need to be represented at both. It's still a public meeting.
From what I read in the statute, you do not have to have the attorney present, even according to Robert's rules. You do not have to have the attorney present at all the meetings. When I first got on council, in 2005, we had the municipal engineers sitting in these meetings every single meeting, whether those meetings went on till 11, 12, or sometimes even later, until we finally realized, but nobody told us. We depend on the advice of the professionals. That's why we're paying professionals. But nobody told us, hey, dummy, you don't have to pay all that money. Cut it out. Until we finally realized on our own. Even the scope of services, we had to figure that out on our own. No professional advised us to do that. To find out last year from the controller's office that is standard practice.
Correct. I mean, I obviously can't speak to how and why things were done prior to my employment here. I can tell you that we do that now.
Well, I really just started out by giving you and council suggestions. There are possibility of savings.
Mr. Melvin?
So who's the
treasurer? at our reorganization meeting, Kay was appointed as treasurer. She supplies monthly reports. I say treasurer's report. That come from her office.
Any other council members aware of what Christina is talking about? Since obviously it's the first one you guys are on council.
In regards to Mrs. Wachowski's statement?
Well, I believe the attorney should be able to help us out with that. It was done during Mr. Koryka's tenure. That is why...
Putting the chief financial officer as the treasurer?
Yes, because even in other towns, usually, the CFO is really just a title. And even in other towns, usually the treasurer has the role of the CFO. And that is what we had here. We broke and because it is such a small municipality, the treasurer was also the tax collector. But I believe, Ken, you also had a part-timer helping you with some of the tax collections. We broke that down. Kay became the tax collector, and the treasurer became a separate entity. That's why we had, what was the name of the gentleman from the professional services?
Dan Mason.
from Dan Mason. He gave us a CFO. I don't remember his name. He was part-time until Rich came in, and then we, that's why we have the CFO. The CFO is really just a name. The CFO is supposed to be the treasurer, and that is how it is. Vic, you should know, that went through.
The CFO is the chief financial officer. Doesn't have to be the treasurer.
Right, but we broke down the tax collector from the treasurer, and there were extensive legal procedures to do that.
Actually, what happened is John worked that out without going through the...
John worked that out without going through the full process.
So what did he work out?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure.
Is there any documentation?
Okay. What's your understanding of what it was worked out?
Well, I remember we had these discussions in executive session, and finally we voted on it. I would have to research it myself. I cannot remember all these things. But we did vote on that, and that's why she's under the impression, and under the correct impression, that she's the tax collector but not the treasurer.
Well, I think Rich can, you know...
And the reason why I asked it was because I saw it in the minutes and it caught my eye and I said, that's wrong.
Obviously, I have no comment on these meetings. I mean, I don't know the whole history of that. So I wouldn't be able to answer the procedure on what took place during
that. Well, it needs to be researched. We do need a treasurer.
We have an organizational chart?
Yes, we do. It's filed with the comptroller's office.
Okay. Is it available for public view?
It will be when the comptroller's office has, at our request actually, has come back to verify that all the deficiencies they noted in 2008 have been addressed. Once they come back, as part of their subsequent information, part of the documentation he requested was an organizational chart. Once they come back with a report, the report is a public document. It'll be on our website and it'll be on the state's website.
Because I believe that may have helped this lady understand it. Hey, you're now the treasurer, too.
Who's filling in the things in the...
When will that be available?
Well, I'm sorry. One at a time, please. I'm sorry.
Mr. Sloan?
You said we had this updated computer program. Who's putting the data in?
The finance office, which includes the CFO, two clerks, a sewer utility clerk, and the tax collector. The entire...
This lady doesn't know she's doing it?
She's been appointed since January, and she was appointed last year.
There's another question over there. It wasn't yours, Mr. Fellow. Someone from the back?
It's me. I was wondering when that report is going to be available.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
He asked when the that organization chart will be available.
I said that when the report is...
I spoke with the comptroller's office last week. They're finalizing their report. Once they finalize their report, they publish it. I asked them how long that'll take to finalize. They just said soon. I don't know. When it gets published, the state comptroller's office doesn't report to us. So their schedule is their own.
So based on the information we have tonight, you may have submitted an organization chart that's wrong.
No, I submitted an organizational chart that's based on current appointments and resolutions appointing.
But you may have appointed by resolution someone that wasn't supposed to be appointed, if what you're saying is correct. And what your attorney is saying, changes were made.
No, I don't believe so, no. The reality of it is appointments, whether they're made by counsel or made by the manager, are made.
So you can violate a previous resolution by just
something
else?
I'm not aware of any previous.
Not saying whether you're aware of it or not.
No.
It doesn't matter whether you're aware of it or not.
Well,
you still did it.
If there was a resolution that specifically says this is the procedure for appointing or this is who is appointed, we follow it. I am not aware of any resolution that dictates managerial appointments for who can and can't be treasurer. In fact, when I spoke with my CFO, she was my first person that I asked if she wanted to be the treasurer. Her exact words were, being a part-time employee, it wouldn't benefit me, it wouldn't benefit the town, rather, to be that because she's not here day-to-day to oversee all the funds. And I agree with that statement. If she's not here... If she's not here daily to oversee the funds because she's a part-time employee, I don't think that's right.
I'm not debating that.
I'm just explaining my rationale.
Okay.
But if that is correct, then before you make that appointment, should you not have let the person know?
I'm sure she knew.
I would never appoint someone without telling them. I spoke with the CFO, who is the department head of the finance department. That's her department. I spoke with her. I would never appoint someone without knowing that. They got everyone gets copied on the resolutions appointing them.
The CFO is a part-time employee?
Yes, she is.
And we let the CFO, who's a part-timer, be responsible for staff that way? Is he a full-time?
Well, the department head status doesn't necessarily equate to a full-time or part-time. Everyone reports to someone, whether they're a full-time supervisor or part-time supervisor.
Well, if this person who's full-time has a problem or issues or questions, who do they ask?
They can contact the CFO or contact any other supervisor, myself included. I mean, my part-time CFO, just because she's not here every day, I speak with her almost on a daily basis. Just because she's not here doesn't mean she's not accountable for her department. And that goes for any part-time employee, not just the CFO. I have other part-time employees that are accountable just the same. I'm sorry?
Who is it?
The CFO?
Yes.
Her name is Natasha Tershan.
Okay. Anything else from the audience? Hearing none, I'll accept a motion to close the audience portion.
Make a motion to close the audience.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? And then Mr. Housel, abstention.
Mr. Mayor.
Sir.
As a point of discussion from the audience portion, there was a request for a forensic audit, something that was asked for 3 years ago. How much does it cost to go out for the RFP?
To solicit request proposals, no cost.
No cost?
None.
All right. Are we bound to accept any of them if
no.
we go out?
Not at all.
If we're going out just to find out what it's going to cost us?
Not at all.
Well, then I make a motion we go out for proposals for a forensic audit for Washington Row.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Feldman,
could you please explain to the members of the public what a forensic audit is, what the scope is, what they look at, what will happen?
Okay. Mr. Higgins,
were involved the last time.
Our auditor, at the end of the year, can everybody hear me? Our auditor, at the end of the year, does what is required by the state, which is only about 10% of our overall budget and assets. They do a sampling. The forensic audit is they come in and they go, let me see this bill right here, let me see where it was paid. Let me see this bill, let me see where it was paid. If money was transferred, they want to know where it was transferred from to where it was going and the reason why. So they pick everything out. I mean, it's a long, tedious process.
How many years do they go back?
It all depends. As part of the scope of work, you have to put in there how far you want them to go back. Normally, I don't think they go back more than 5 years.
Typically, 5 years is the average.
Is that, would you like to make that part of your motion?
Yes, I would.
Well, to go back 5 years, or do we need another one?
At least.
We'll amend the motion.
You'll amend the motion to go back for 5 years?
Yes.
Mr. Chief, I'll second
it.
Okay. And is there any objection to that? Let's do it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions. Thank you, Mr. Chief.
We might want to look into the Department of Criminal Justice, too. They might do it for free.
Really?
They might do it for free.
Do you remember when two managers ago, when they left, we discussed this?
Right.
And the Department of Criminal Justice wouldn't touch it or something.
No. What we got was a $35,000 quote, and that's how it was dropped.
Okay.
Do you have a contact person by chance for that or no?
No, but if you want me to find one, I will.
If you would.
All right, I will.
Okay, that moves us on to our Ordinance 2-2010, an ordinance establishing Recreation Department program fees. Introduction.
I'll move that.
Second.
Is there any discussion on this?
Yeah, Mayor, I would like to discuss the fees for rec. Rich, I see you have the minimum and maximum here,
right.
And just going down the list, the minimum, apparently we dropped some of the fees by $5, but we increased the maximum. What are we going to gain with a minimum and maximum for fees?
You know, what it is, it creates a structure, a minimum and maximum for each participant, for each event. That means as long as it falls within that minimum and maximum, and upon, I believe it was March 1st of each year, the rec director will present to council a list of their recommendations for minimum, for fees for each of them. As long as it falls within that range, you don't need to reintroduce, republish, and readopt the ordinance each year.
So with this...
I'm sorry.
This resolution 2010, this would be brought back...
Ordinance.
This will be brought back to the committee to set the fees?
The rec advisory committee and the rec director are responsible for jointly coming up with fees. The rec director presents his fees to council by March 1st of each year for your approval or denial.
Which was already done.
That's correct.
Right.
But what we're going to do is what this now is to create structure in the sense that we have set fees, a set range for them, and as long as the rec director comes in with those range justifiable, I should say, you can't just say I would arbitrarily increase or decrease, council can approve it. If you didn't do it this way, you have to reintroduce and readopt this ordinance each year.
The director did see these?
Yes.
And he's in favor of this? Do you know if it got to the committee?
That I don't know.
It did not.
That I don't know. But these were within the current fees. The low fees dropped, and they increased the high fees for the min and max to allow fluctuation both ways.
As part of what the director's comments were that we have put into the minutes, the senior citizens fee should be taken out of there. And he said that wouldn't be a problem at all. But it doesn't represent the inherent new ordinance.
Remember, we're just introducing it to
I know.
So
I
any
know.
Changes
things get introduced, and then all of a sudden we say, well, what'd we do?
If council would like to change any of these for next time, now's the time we can do it. We can introduce it now, and we can make minor changes upon the public hearing and adoption.
Okay.
So if you want to add the language with respect to senior citizens, you should do it now. Mm.
I don't think it requires language. I just think that there needs
change.
To be a zero in the minimum
sure.
and a zero in the maximum.
Well, then I'll just remove, we can just remove the total cost associated with it. Just leave the name. You're referring to swimming?
Mm-hmm. Pool membership.
Pool membership, excuse me. So you're for borough and
borough
non-borough?
And non-borough.
Well, don't you want to put a? Oh, you got a category. Yeah. Senior citizens.
I do.
What's he want to do?
He wants to make senior citizens zero and
zero
and zero.
Okay.
Zero. So is just so I understand, that's for both borough residents and non-borough, zero to cross.
That's the only one that reflects a senior citizen charge.
That's correct.
Is there any in field hockey?
No, non-resident.
Well, I said resident, non-resident, but I mean all the other activities.
Now, obviously, if there's a new event or new program with this, the ordinance will have to be amended. This is based on all current usage. So what we can do is we can change that on both, and when it's the public hearing and adoption, it'll reflect zero.
Okay, that would be a motion.
I second that motion.
Let me ask, would you be willing to have the minimum at zero and the maximum at 35?
Yeah.
So years down the road?
No.
Well, Rich, let me ask you this question. Are we going to go over each and every item, or are we going to say, what are we doing here? Because this doesn't make any sense.
What this ordinance is this ordinance is creating, based on current programs and events, a minimum and max for each. What this is once this is... adopted, now we have a basis for the rec director. So for today, all council needs to do is, if there's any amendments that they would like to make now, we can introduce it with said amendments.
Okay.
Once those amendments are reflected in this, the next meeting we have will be the public hearing and adoption of this ordinance, and at which point any changes will be realized on this for everyone to see the changes that have been made.
And if programs are added to the body or programs are dropped, do we have to reintroduce?
If a year from now we create a new program, we have to reintroduce and readopt this ordinance.
One more point. This will go back to the committee for their input.
You'd have to amend this ordinance.
Well, correct. We have to amend this ordinance. I'm sorry?
This now that it's introduced, this will go back to the committee?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have a question to the point of the pool membership, these dollar values for the min and max.
are they now getting us also out of a deficit?
That's tough. Let me ask if I can ask, you know, because essentially the deficit isn't so much about how much you're charging, but it's based on membership. So you can argue that, you know, if you charge $50, let's say, a person, and 10,000 people wanted to show up at the pool and be members, then you would be in the plus. Mm-hmm. So really, it's a combination of membership and charges. So that's kind of hard to quantify that.
Okay.
I have one other question. When this will take effect 20 days after it's passed.
20 days after it's published. It gets published about a week after it's adopted.
20 days after it's published.
That's correct.
Okay. So then are we going to do a resolution setting the fees?
Absolutely. Retroactive to January 1st.
Question? Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. So what's recommended here for the amendment is that senior citizens, non-borough residents, would be 0 and 0?
Yes, for borough residents and non-residents, senior citizens.
I have a hard time with that.
Well, then don't vote for it.
Okay. Now, just a little point of order. We have two motions on the floor.
And we can't,
right,
according
now
to Robert's rules.
Right. I don't think do we necessarily need to have a motion for Mr. Boyle to set
the... It needs to be an amendment.
It needs to be an amendment.
Okay, so would you be willing to withdraw that motion? And just do the amendment by consensus? Is that what we're saying here?
Well, you can do what you want. I mean, Mr. Boyle can make a motion to amend.
Okay, even when there's a motion on the floor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Actually, the person making the motion can accept the amendment.
Correct. That's correct. Do you want to do it that way?
It's a lot easier.
Okay. Who made the motion?
The original one?
Yes.
Dave did, didn't you?
Councilman Ciani, and who was the second? Okay. Do you accept the amendments?
I don't accept the non-borough pool membership senior citizen.
Okay. Then in that case, since we can
why don't you do an amendment? Somebody wants to move the amendment. Pat wants to move the amendment. He just says, I move it so-and-so, and it either gets four votes or it doesn't get four votes.
We'll go with Pat's motion now, and that is to keep the senior citizens for both residents and non-residents at $0 for the pool membership. Let's have a roll call on that.
I would just like to make a comment, if I could.
Certainly.
A senior citizen, non-resident, would usually bring a grandchild or a family member, which would have to pay, correct? If you get one for free, one pay. Okay.
Okay, that's the roll call.
Boyle?
Yes.
Cleveland?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
No.
Cioni?
No.
Housel?
No.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, so now we'll do...
A vote on the motion. That was the motion to amend, right? So you got to vote on the main motion. Motion is amended. Now you got to vote on the main motion.
Okay. Roll call. Is there any other discussion on the ordinance, first of all? We have a roll call on the ordinance, please.
For introduction.
Yes.
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Weber?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Higgins? Yes. Ordinance 2010, an ordinance establishing Recreation Department program fees.
Motion to advertise.
Second. Okay, any discussion on the advertisement? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? I'm going to deviate from the agenda a little bit into old businesses, the shared service. We have our Judge Edward Palmer here, who wanted to speak with us a little bit about that.
Okay. I'm Ed Palmer. I'm your judge. I'm also the judge in Mansfield, which is the subject matter of this discussion tonight. The only reason I wanted to get before the board before you took a vote on anything permanent with reference to this shared services agreement, as I understand, is being discussed with Mansfield Township with reference to the municipal court. And I wanted to make you aware of three different items that I think are important for you to know before you take a vote or before you make a decision on this. Number one, to my knowledge, this, no discussion up till this point has taken place with the administrative officer of the courts with reference to the potential for a shared agreement with Mansfield Township. I have sent to both town council and to Mr. Phelan letters, which I have received from the, first of all, the presiding judge of the municipal courts and from the directing judge of the administrative office of the courts in Trenton, which outline essentially, I'll be brief or truncate this, it is that when any town wishes to enter into an interlocal agreement for purposes of a shared court, they must receive the approval of the administration office of the court, the administrative office of the court. That is something that has been in effect for a long time, and I think that to a certain extent, before you get the cart before the horse, that those people in Somerville at least should be contacted with reference to what you plan on doing, because if they don't approve it, it isn't going to take place. Okay? Just so you understand, municipal courts are a little bit different than the road department or some other area in the town, some other department in the town. You form it, but it then becomes, it's under the aegis of the administrative office of the court. It's something that's, people don't understand that sometimes, but that's something that has to be done. There is a standing, now, in terms of hierarchy, chain of command, there is Judge Grant, who sits in Trenton. He takes care of the administration of all the courts in New Jersey. In line, in terms of administering what he wants to do with municipal courts in our vicinage, which is Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties, Judge Ciccone from Somerville is the woman who, the judge who takes care of that. She has a, quote, I'll call it a standing rule, or she does not want more than three courts involved in any shared court agreement because it becomes a logistical nightmare as far as she's concerned. Presently in Mansfield, there are three courts, Oxford, Washington Township, Mansfield Township. Obviously, without being a math whiz, if you added Washington Borough, it would be four. So I think it's very important to contact her first to find out whether this is going to, even from the get-go, is going to be allowed. All right?
Could we make the point that Rich has already explained to us at the last meeting that she won't even entertain our idea until we have this agreement signed between the four townships?
I was not aware of that, and that is not what I'm getting from Judge Shaw, who is the presiding judge of the municipal courts, who is my senior person.
They had told us that if our council here agreed to the concept, what they could do is they could pass the agreement on a provisional basis, if you will, pending final approval. Bottom line is, even if this group approves it, they were made aware that we don't have the final say.
Okay.
So they know, but the state, the AOC wanted to make sure everyone here was on board, because we didn't want them to waste their time if that type.
As long as you have passed that with them in Somerville, I'm okay with it. I just wanted to make everybody aware of it. The second item beyond that, in terms, two things you should take into consideration, and I'm not getting into numbers here, I don't know the numbers, but in reference to any agreements that you may have potentially with people now in Washington Borough, have to be settled. If there's a contract with an employee or contract with the prosecutor, for instance, those things have to be answered and taken care of before you can enter into an agreement or as part of entering into an agreement with Mansfield Township, I would think. That's just, it seems common sense to me. Third, and I know from all the discussion and everyone who's here, that finances are number one item. And I can understand why the borough wishes to do this. based upon a money-saving process. However, the administrative office of the courts also promulgates rules, or not rules, but they take each court in the state of New Jersey and they say, for this court, for instance, it takes 1.37 people to run this court efficiently, and that's what they're concerned about, efficiently. If you transfer this court to Mansfield, you still need 1.37 people to run it, because you can't expect Mansfield, who is also tight in terms of their personnel, you can't dump this court, so to speak, onto the personnel who are presently at the Mansfield court. So some recognition of that has to be taken place in any numbers that you may come up with in terms of the savings. And that's what I'm looking at, is what would the actual savings be?
If I may, Judge, you're saying that if we transfer our court to Mansfield, they would need to hire 1.37 people.
Something would have to be done, because
to oversee the extra burden of our going into.
That's correct.
Okay.
I would think that would be part of the discussions with the AOC, because they're the people who come up with the numbers for every court in terms of what numbers they feel are necessary for each court to run properly. So.
Now, is that 1.37 people that we're talking about here, just let's say 1.5 for sake of argument, is that based on the caseload?
Yes.
Okay, so if there is a lower caseload, it may only be...
That number comes from a three-year median. So they've taken figures, and I'm looking at figures here for 2007 and 09, I guess it would end.
So they would look at the three-year median for us added to
and
that.
And it says 1.37. Okay. For Mansfield, Washington Township, and Oxford, it's 3.72, I think it is.
Okay.
They only have full-time employees. So, I mean, numbers, I don't know. I'm not arguing that point. I'm merely saying that in terms of looking at it from a savings point of view, you have to take that into consideration. You still have to have 1.37.
Okay, I understand.
Okay.
And if I may ask just another little procedural question there. You mentioned the AOC in Somerville and in Trenton.
Okay.
Okay, did they both have to sign off on this?
No.
I'm looking for the organization.
To my knowledge, the organization chart that everybody was...
Yeah.
You could go from Trenton, that's Judge Grant. But he has appointed Judge Ciccone to be able to deal with these matters for our business, this area of the state.
And she's the judge in Somerville for all
these
reasons.
Yes, and I would assume that I've never personally gone through this. This is something a town would do, these shared interlocal agreements. Who the go-to person is, I'm not exactly sure, but it's at least one person. It's whether it's in Somerville or in Trenton, I can't tell you that.
And what they do is they send it from Somerville actually down to Trenton. They do
Judge
it.
Grant?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's two judge.
Yeah.
There's two judges that have to sign off on it then. Correct, Mr. Cushing?
Well,
it's what it is. They send it to Judge Ciccone, who is the assignment judge in Somerville, and then Judge Ciccone's office sends it to the administrative office of the courts. It's not really another judge that signs it. It's staff that works down there.
Okay.
And they normally approve whatever. And now this is a different wrinkle because of Judge Ciccone's position. But normally they would look at these things, and normally the review is almost pro forma. But in this case, it would create just a little bit more of an issue because of the issue raised by Judge Ciccone with respect to whether or not they're going to permit four shared courts.
I see.
All
right. Mr. Counsel, you have something?
Yes, so, Judge Palmer.
Yes.
So what you're saying is if we were to approve this resolution tonight just for consideration by the AOC,
mm-hmm.
they would actually turn around and tell us, okay, we could deny it, they can deny it,
mm-hmm.
or they can approve it knowing that we would have to get another 1.5 person in Mansfield to run their court.
I've never been a party to it, but I'm assuming that that's all going to have to be discussed with the AOC and how this has to be manned, what personnel you would need in order to make this work.
So at that point, we would know whether it would really be a savings or not.
Just to dovetail off of that, if you will, staffing, should this agreement move forward, is dictated by Mansfield. So if Mansfield wants more staffing, that does not adjust our contribution.
But that also, I'm sorry, if they added staff, we came over and they added staff, that staffing allocation would be allocated across four different courts.
No. The numbers before you are our numbers. If they hire 10 more people, our numbers are flat. What you have before you are our contribution.
So we don't pay for additional staff?
No. It actually is a clause in there, and I'm just paraphrasing. Any additional costs will be borne by Mansfield.
I'm not privy to any numbers or any of the interchange that's gone on between Washington Borough and Mansfield.
But
I'm just making you aware that it's 1.37 employees that would be necessary. Who pays for them?
Yeah, that's a different conversation, right?
And that would be something that we could definitely make sure.
The language in the proposed draft, in essence, says these are our contributions for year one, year two, and that is it. Any additional overages will be borne by the host community.
So what you're asking
that, for... That may be a subject of what the AOC will look at as to whether they agree with that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Presumably.
Right.
They look at that. They want to... Their concern is that the court functions properly.
And just to answer your question, once everything's agreed, this is still probably a 3 or 4 month process for them to review. This is not happening overnight.
Tonight, all you're asking for is approval for consideration by the AOC.
Well, what I need...
What we have to do is, once the AOC gets back to us, then we would have final approval.
Well, what this would be, correct. The agreement would be approved on a preliminary basis. In essence, it would be approved by resolution, which is here, but the resolution would be amended to add language. The governing body approves this pending the full approval by the AOC. Or, if the governing body chooses to, they can say, we agree with it, and it can be placed on the next agenda for resolution adoption. The choice... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's really two options. The short version of it is everyone can agree to have it placed on for formal approval on the 16th, or everyone can agree with the language now. Either way, it's still pending the approval from the AOC.
I had some questions, if I could.
I just interrupt for one
sure.
second while I'm thinking of it. Mr. Phelan is talking in terms of 3 or 4 months. I am under the impression that, I'll go back, 3 or 4 months. If it takes 3 or 4 months, this court has to function properly, fully manned, for that period of time,
right,
until it actually takes place. Mm-hmm. So I understand that there have been things done which may play into that, make that impossible. I don't know whether that's true or not. But that has to be taken into consideration.
I
just want to make sure that we have fully staffed until some agreements agreed upon by the AOC and the sharing actually takes place.
If the borough council approves this, whether it's tonight or whether for their approval on the 16th, no operational changes will be made here pending the AOC's approval for a new start date. No changes here.
All right, that's all I have.
I have a question for you, Judge. You said you are the Mansfield
judge.
Yes.
Okay.
So the way it was explained to us is that you would actually spend another day out there holding our cases. So right now you are out there 3 days.
I would be out if I can't do it on the days that I do the other court because
right.
it's just too much.
Right.
We hold court here 4 times a month. So presumably, at least for now, I have to think in terms of 4 more days up there. Okay?
Right.
I'm the one that makes the determinations as to the court sessions. That's part of the statute and so on and so forth. But right now, I have to go based upon what I do here, what I do up there, and that says to me I need to set aside 4 other court dates during each month.
Right.
Now,
so
that may be adjusted later, but I don't know that for a fact.
My question then is, if the AOC says to you you need 1.73 or 1.37, whatever
right.
it is, to run your court, and you said that there's already 2 employees there at Mansfield. Could those 2 employees be used for your 1.37?
No. Not to my knowledge, because they're full-time employees already, just doing that work. And they're understaffed compared to what the AOC indicates they should have. But again, that's going to be discussed with the AOC, I'm sure.
I know I might be putting you on the spot here, but your recommendation, should we wait until we find out what the AOC says?
That's why I came here tonight, to make sure that whatever you do, you don't do anything final, you don't do anything that puts your signature on a line where you're going to be obligated until the AOC says, yes, this will work, and this is how it will work, and so on and so forth. Anything else?
Could we pass this resolution just as to forward it to the AOC for comment?
If I may, what I would suggest is if council doesn't have any additional comments on the agreement itself, and if everyone's satisfied with the language in there, I know I spoke with our attorney, and there's a couple minor concerns that he wanted to have addressed in there. If council approves with the concept as is, what I can do is I can draft a letter to the AOC saying my governing body has agreed in concept to this. If this would move forward, these are the terms and conditions. And no formal action needs to take place tonight other than your guidance by instructing me to do so.
You need to wait for a response from the AOC?
That's correct.
Don't they need the resolution?
What I'm going to do is I'll provide them with samples. I can provide them saying this is the enclosed is the sample resolution, the sample agreement. I'll let Mansfield know as well that this body doesn't want to take action until they get approval first.
How significant are those changes then?
Well, there are some language. I read over the agreement. I think it needs to be tightened up a little bit.
For our interest,
exactly. In other words, it needs to be made absolutely clear that the maximum expenditures that we would have are as set forth in paragraphs 1 and 2. And I know Rich said that he has that commitment from Mansfield. I'd just like to have a little bit more definitive language in that regard. And there's some other minor language having to do with if you pull out, I just didn't like the way it was worded. It wasn't clear enough. And there's a couple of other minor stuff. But, I mean, those are things that we can do. I can give him a memo of my concerns, and he can send that down with the agreement to the AOC if that's what council's wishes are.
Mr. DeVoe, you had a question?
Yeah, who's responsible for the salary of the judge on the 1.37 people? Are we, the borough of Washington?
We have, the contract here basically says that we are going to pay a certain amount of money to the Mansfield Court for them hosting our court. They will be responsible for paying the judge, associated people with the court. The only further expense that would come to the borough of Washington afterwards would be for a public defender. But they would pay for the judge, the prosecutor, and the court personnel.
How much of a savings do you really think we're going to gain out of providing my burdens for losing our court this year?
Want to answer? Yeah, if you can.
Sure. Obviously, it depends on what time of year this goes forward. If it goes, about $120,000 a year.
Mr. Feldman?
Last meeting, the council spent an hour and a half discussing this issue, and questions came up about exactly how much we were going to save. And that went on for a good 45 minutes from Ms. Grieva, Mr. Higgins, and Mr. Boyle. And I believe at that point it was decided that we were going to have the CFO from Mansfield come and talk about those numbers before we proceeded. So my question to you is, what's changed between that last meeting and this meeting that would make you want to proceed since you still have no numbers that are solid?
The numbers on the agreement that...
Winston's got numbers.
So you've got your numbers, but you haven't made it known to the public when we
see the numbers. We're just discussing it now.
But no one's talked numbers.
We just did.
When? You just said 120,000, same number that went out the last meeting. Is that a real number, Councilman Higgins?
That's the number we got from Mansfield.
There's two numbers. There's the number that will cost us in Mansfield, and then what our current costs are that we would have in our court here in Washington. And the savings would be for a full year in 2010, but it's already past that, $120,000. Our costs for 2010 are about $220,000. I just rounded up. I can give you the exact number. So that would come out to about 44% savings.
Plus, we have to have a capital improvement made if we keep it in-house. And about $10,000 was allocated to the budget to get the scanners, because that's mandated, the security. So if we go to Mansfield, that's obviously not the case because they already have the security. So that's another factor of cost.
Mrs. Sloan, you had a question?
Isn't it already on the website that they're supposed to go to Mansfield?
Our website only doesn't say it. The township website says that when you go to police to pay tickets.
The township's website? That's news to me.
To Mansfield with the Mansfield address.
That's news to me.
Okay.
I have no idea about that.
That tomorrow.
That's where they go to court?
The township goes to court, they'll
write tickets for us, that I don't know.
I can call
that's
my
what I was told. I have a ticket.
That's news to me.
That's what I was told. I have another question, though. You know, having to deal with the language in this agreement, we're paying, I don't know the number right off the top of my head, 33% of the cost of the court based on our caseload. There's no language in there that if our caseload decreases that we get an opportunity to renegotiate to drop our price.
That's correct.
Of what we're paying. So I think that needs to be in there also.
If we do that, they would ask to increase the price should our caseload increase.
Wow.
You can't have it both ways.
I don't know why, but that's a fluctuating number. It can be high 1 year and low the next year and go high again. So
the advantage
to negotiating
having a static number is it makes budgeting for the expenses easier. How do you know what to budget for when you don't know what your caseload is going to be?
Rich, how long would this agreement be in place for if this went forward?
The draft is for 4 years.
4 years. So at the end of 4 years, we found that if Mansfield basically came back and said, you know what, you got to give us more money because your caseload is so high, then that would be a negotiation point at the end of 4 years. So it works both ways. I mean, you can look at it a million different ways.
So just to reiterate, it will be pending what they determine, and then you'll give us, say, a final number, because I am concerned now after hearing about this 1.73, because then the savings are not those dollars.
Well, our costs are our costs. If they have to hire additional personnel, our costs are what they say in this agreement.
Because okay,
remember,
I guess is Mansfield aware that they might need to keep with another 1.7.
So we don't have to pay anything to the additional person they hire.
No. Our costs, what you see in front of you, are static for the duration.
That would most likely be offset by the court costs that would be imposed by the judge. Correct.
Well, they receive the court costs.
Right.
We receive the revenue from the
fines.
That's correct. Okay. We continue to receive all revenue from that.
Ms. Luby, you had said that our current costs, our projections are $220,000, correct? For our municipal, and that includes our prosecutor, correct?
Yes.
Now, I believe that they said that price is excluded if we were to go to Mansfield.
Public defender.
The public defender. That price is that cost is excluded from the.
Correct.
How much does the public defender
about $6,000 a year.
All right, so we take that off the 100.
Yeah, obviously, it depends on the number.
The way I calculated it, I took it off of the 219 and
okay.
I took it off the 120,000, but it was flat.
Oh, so that's not in the 219.
No, it is. But to come up with the 44%, you have to exclude that $6,000 from both numbers.
Ms. Feldman, you have another question?
What's this about the court that we're thinking about going to, from once they hear from whomever that we need or they need 1.73, whatever the number is, to say to you that contract needs to be jacked up X amount of dollars because we were told we need X, Y, Z people.
Theoretically, anything's a possibility, but council doesn't have to approve the agreement.
I just want to know if that's a possibility. The contract you're looking at now could be changed by them prior to approval.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Theoretically correct. That's correct.
Yeah, that's correct. So you have a deal, you don't have a
right.
Deal.
Okay.
Until everybody signed off on
yeah.
it.
It's a proving concept.
That's
until
exactly
everyone
why
on.
I'm cautioning not to
yeah.
sign anything
that's
until
right.
AOC looks at it.
Right.
Come to you get to the fine points.
Yeah, AOC is going to say probably two things. One, I approve or disapprove, right?
Right.
And if they approve it, they're going to say subject to you have to add 1.37 people, at which time Mansfield can look at the agreement and say, okay, we'll do it, or we don't want to do it, or we'll negotiate
right.
changes
right.
to the agreement. So
that's
all this,
a possibility.
All
mm-hmm.
of this is just the sending it down to AOC to review it and make their decision.
That's correct.
Because if
as
they
far
say
as I understand.
Right, if they say it's not going to happen because they don't want to allow a fourth municipality, then all of this is a moot discussion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm here representing the CWA, Communication Workers of America, and I have a paper for you concerning legislation on shared services.
Do I need to step back?
If you feel more comfortable doing so, Dave, if you remember the use, maybe you want to.
Okay, what I'd like to.
Okay.
You feel it's a conflict.
All right, well, before we go any further with this, Kay, we have an issue here because my wife is a member of the CWA also. It could be a conflict, so before I step down, I guess we would have, and Terry has stepped down, we would need a chair.
Motion to appoint a temporary chairman of the meeting.
Mr. Boyle, would you like to chair the meeting for the...
Thank you for the opportunity, Mayor.
You would like to?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any objections to that?
Motion.
Is there a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to appoint Councilman Boyle as chair of the meeting.
Okay.
Second. Well, in the absence of the mayor.
In the absence.
We don't want any coups here coming up.
Is there any further discussion on that?
Do you need a quorum?
Yeah, there will be. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And I will step down. And Mr. Boyle?
Yeah, about it.
Okay. Proceed, please.
Okay, the point that I'd like to, I am representing, I'm here in place of the, our union rep, Bernie Krizek. What I'd like to point out is 40A:65-11, Employment Reconciliation Plan included in the agreement and conditions. Okay, name monthly number two. That any employee terminated for reasons of economy or efficiency by a local unit providing the service under the shared service agreement shall be given a terminal leave payment of not less than a period of 1 month for each five-year period of past service as an employee with the local unit, or other enhanced benefits that may be provided or negotiated. According to our contract, too, okay, you have two employees, the court administrator and the deputy court administrator have received their pick slips. Okay? Jenny has been here over 16 years. At that rate for her severance package, she would be over $15,000. Including in the contract, she would be entitled to her sick and vacation time. So you're looking at over $16,000 in a severance package for her. For Lisa, who's been here 5 years, she would have $6,504 for 2 months of severance pay. Then her sick and vacation time would be hourly. The total for her would be over $7,000. Total for both would be over $23,000. So my question is, can you afford to pay a severance package when we are having money problems?
I'd like to defer that question to the manager. If I may, I'm aware of this. The reconciliation plan is being reviewed, and we're waiting for approval by the state for the reconciliation plan. And the costs associated with this are being considered as the overall transition to go through.
Okay.
So the answer is yes. We took this into consideration, Dort.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, for clarification, Rich, when you say we took it in consideration, who are you speaking about? When we looked at whether or not the funds were permissible to even move forward with it, myself, Mansfield Township sat down, as well as my CFO, and looked at the actual numbers.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. Do we need any comments from the audience?
I guess we can bring them back in.
Okay.
Mr. Councilman Higgins, you get the mayor and a deputy?
Thank you, Mr. Boyle.
You're welcome, sir.
Now, where are we in the process?
The next course of action would be what does council want to instruct me to do as it relates to this.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, what is your pleasure with this resolution?
Based on the advice of the judge, I would ask that a letter be sent to the AOC before any formal action is taken.
With a copy of the resolution?
As a sample.
Excuse me, if I may, resolution and agreement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You just said, I just want to make sure I got it.
Okay. And is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, is there any further?
Wait a minute, what was that? You're adding something here.
You're going to send the letter with the resolution and the agreement to the AOC.
Right. Unexecuted agreement.
Unexecuted, yes. Okay.
Okay, and if there has seconded that, is there any further discussion? Let's have a roll call on this one.
Higgins?
Yes.
Theo?
Yes.
Leland?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay. Now we'll come back up to the top of the list there where we have our reports.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the reports? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Council committee appointments. We have a list here. Are there any committees here that we think should be dissolved?
Did we not speak about redevelopment, taking that off?
I believe that was mentioned before. Is there any objection to removing the redevelopment committee?
No.
Okay, we'll take care of that one. All other committees we're happy with keeping?
Streets, I believe, is not really active. Nothing going on with that?
Well, I beg to differ. I think streets ought to be active, and I think we need to get that committee energized.
Yes. Well, we had an issue earlier this year that we were talking about coming before the streets. Do you remember what that was?
Plowing of the...
Right. We wanted to make sure we were all set on that.
Okay. So we should probably keep that one going at least for a little bit longer.
How are we doing?
No. Is there any other ones that we think we could do away with? Then I guess we should look at...
I would like to make a motion to add a committee.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I'd like to add a grant committee. I've mentioned this in my budget package. Given that we are in debt, I agree with some of the audience here that we need to start looking for more money, and Councilman Steele is aware, too, that we of some grants out there. I've already found some, so I'd like to, on the website, solicit citizens to help research and help write the grants, and I would work with the manager. And
okay.
I have some for the fire department, and it would only be a 20% match for the fire department. And given some of the items in their 2010 capital budget, 20% of some of those things isn't a lot that I'm sure they could probably fundraise.
Do we agree in forming a grants committee?
Sure.
Is there any objection to it whatsoever?
No.
I'm sorry?
No, I'd like to be part of that committee also.
I'd also like to be part of that as well.
Okay, with no objections, we'll appoint Councilman Valentine, Cioni, and Councilwoman Gleba. Councilwoman Gleba, would you like to chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Question, is there a borough garage committee?
That's not serious.
Yes, there is.
There is.
Who's been on
the DPW garage?
Currently,
Mr.
Howland
is on it.
Who was on it before you guys?
Andrew Turner was on it, and John, the road supervisor, the engineer, the manager.
If I may, this is council appointments to the committees. There's other members to the committees.
Right,
besides
I'm just curious.
Maybe someone else from council would like to serve on that committee.
Well, we'll get down to that.
Okay.
We have our senior services committee, which Councilman Housel is on. Would anyone else like to sit on that committee?
I'd like to have a ad put on the website, if possible, that citizen involvement for that committee.
I would like to just suggest that once we go through the list,
yep.
I think any committee that we still have, we should advertise to get citizens involved.
Okay. Yeah, we can create a separate page.
Right. And I'm going to also suggest that they contact directly the council committee members their letter of intent, so that we those that are responsible on that committee get those letters of intent, and then we can work with them.
Would that be different than the citizen involvement form that we have?
The cable advisory, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
No, he means on the website, the citizen.
No,
yeah,
I'm sorry, that's form specific to, I want to be on the Board of Adjustments, I want to be on the Planning Board.
Okay.
That's for council appointments.
Okay.
Official, yeah.
We have the website committee, which is Phil, the streets committee, we have myself and Mr. Housel on. Would anyone else like to serve on the streets committee?
Mayor, if you would appoint me, I'd like to be on that committee, please.
Certainly. DPW Garage, we have just Mr. Housel at the moment. Is there anyone else who would like to serve on that committee?
Do you need other people in that, Terry?
One other council person would be good.
Okay.
If it comes to time to start working with the manager on the liquidated damages.
All right. I'll work with you on that, if that's all right.
Sure. And I would also like to work on that one. Sewer committee, we have Councilman Higgins and Councilman Housel. Anyone else like to sit on that one?
Mr. Mayor, I'd invite the public to take a walk, take a ride or a walk down to the DPW garage and take a look at it.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry, one quick point of clarification. I think it's important to identify the chair of each department, because if we post all this on the website, what they should be doing is, if they're interested in being a part of the committee, they should contact the chair, and what we'll do is we can have all of the council's information, phone number, stuff like that, email address, whatever they're comfortable with, so this way they have a way of contacting without having to look for our information.
Sure. Good idea. Mr. Cioni, would you like to be the chair of the website?
I already am.
But okay. Yeah, sure. Well, it's not listed here. That's what I thought. And the streets committee, would anyone like to chair that, or is there a chair already?
No.
I'll take it.
Okay. DPW garage. Mr. Housel, would you like to take that since you've the most experience there? Sewer committee. Mr. Higgins, would you like that one?
Sure.
Okay. You looked like you were waiting for me there. Shared services, we have Mr. Boyle and myself. Anyone else like to sit on that service?
I would.
I'm sorry? Mr. I Higgins? And Mr. Higgins and Mr.
Just
Boyle?
Who's the chair of that, just for the website?
That's chair. Would either of you like to chair that one?
I'll take it, since I'm already in their website.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Finance committee, we have Mr. Higgins and Mr. Cioni.
We haven't met since Councilwoman Wachowski left, so not sure of the value at this point.
Can we eliminate it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well.
What was the purpose of this committee?
She left. Christine was the chair, and I think it was just to review the practices and some of that nature, and part of it was create a council handbook, like those types of things. But we met sporadic at best, and there wasn't enough back and forth dialogue, so it just went away after she left.
I think given our current state of financial affairs, I think it's important that we can work with the manager and relay the information to the public.
Mr. Gleba, would you like to keep it or get rid of it?
Me?
Well, I'm just going to call counsel.
Oh. I think we need.
Mr. Higgins has made his point. Mr. Boyle?
Yes, I'm supporting that committee.
Okay. Mr. Valentine?
I think we should keep it.
Okay. That's four.
We should keep it if it actually is going to happen, because it hasn't happened in eight months.
So it looks like we're going to keep it. Would somebody else like to sit on that? Mr. Cioni, would you like to chair the Finance Committee?
Sure.
Rick, liaison, I don't think we need anything else there. Business Improvement District is done by statute, and we are done there. Park Committee, we have Mr. Cioni and Mrs. Gleba. Anybody else like to sit on the Park Committee? I would like to sit on that committee.
Do you want to take over as chair? Or,
I'm sorry?
Or do you want to take over as chair, or are you okay with me being chair?
I'm comfortable with you being chair. Mrs. Gleba, are you comfortable with that? Mm-hmm. And we have the Cable Committee. I guess we just need a chair for that since that's filled. Mrs. Gleba?
I'll do it.
Is that what you said, Mr. Higgins?
What's that?
I heard you make a comment there.
I thought she said, yes, okay. Do it.
Mayor,
can I ask a question?
Sure.
About the cable?
Yes.
Now the rumor around town is council members do not pay for their own cable.
Not true.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and I don't even have cable.
That's good. I mean, I'm sure.
Right.
Mrs. Fung, years
put
ago, do you
the
remember,
record.
There was also a rumor that council people don't pay taxes.
I can't hear you, Carrie.
There was a rumor years ago that council people don't pay taxes also.
Well, I don't know. I heard it, and I wanted it clarified.
The only organizations that don't pay for cable in the borough is the public schools.
The municipal building receives television. The schools receive television and internet, and the libraries receive television and internet. No charge.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, any other discussion on our committee? Mr. Boyle?
Yeah, Mayor, I'd like to be added to the Finance Committee, please.
Certainly. Okay, anything else for the committees? Thank you all. We'll move on. Committee reports. Do you have any committee reports this evening?
I have one for the Shared Services.
Okay.
We had a meeting on Saturday at Hackettstown, and there's a couple things that council needs to agree with to go further. Apparently, the Shared Services Committee is getting a grant or applying for a grant to continue Shared Services programs. The Warren County Chamber of Commerce, Robert Goltz, okay? He is our liaison, and they're asking each municipality for $600 in dues. Then once that money gets to the for the grant, then that grant reimburses that $600 per municipality. So that's something we have to consider, okay, if we want to continue this.
Could I interrupt you? Because I have grant information on shared services. Is it part of the shared grant program?
It's a regional grant.
Because these grants, it depends upon what you get. Implementation grants. Some of them you don't need to match it. And then also there's an elimination of local match requirements for communities with populations under 10,000. So.
Yeah, it's just all phase one right now in discussion. Okay. Secondly, the shared services is going to try to abolish the COA, and they're looking for a shared municipal housing liaison, which would be a part of the scope of services with the shared services committee. The Warren Morris County of Government is the committee.
They're looking to do away with the COA?
Well, they're one among many.
Governor Christie has proposed.
Yes, exactly. So they're jumping on that bandwagon with our state senators and assemblymen. Do you know who is on the Warren County League of Municipalities for the borough? Do we have anybody?
We're all members.
The entire council.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that they've been active at all.
I'm the smartest one here. Well, we need to have somebody attend those meetings.
When was the last meeting they
had? I didn't know we had one.
Yeah, I haven't heard of a meeting.
Okay. I don't know anything about it.
Warren County League of Municipalities?
Yeah. John Inshow, mayor of Liberty?
Yeah.
is the chair. I don't know if you know Mr. Inshaw. Mayor.
No, I can. What town, I'm sorry, did you say he was mayor?
Liberty.
Liberty, okay.
And then, if you're interested, look at Senate Bill 818 about emergency services. They're requiring all emergency personnel with licensing and things of that nature. The Hackettstown Rescue Squad was at our meeting, and they brought that up, and it could be a tremendous impact to the municipalities. So if anybody's interested in that. The next meeting will be Wednesday, March 31st, 7:30 in Independence. That's all I have there.
Thank you. Any other committee reports?
I have an update from the park committee. We met last week. Janine was in person. I was on the phone. I forget who exactly was there, but I know Ed Rossi was there, Monica was there, Sandy was there. Basically, we went through the agreement. We made some minor changes to the agreement. We have the scope of work detailed in the agreement, what the bid's responsibility is. We also have artist rendering of what the, you know, perceived park is going to look like. Basically, we also received from Andrew Holt, the owners had to get a phase one environmental site survey because it's adjacent to contaminated land. So we just wanted to make sure that there was no environmental issues. So the property owners paid for the environmental survey themselves. It's called phase one environmental site assessment. And that report was sent to our municipal engineer for review. We just received from the municipal engineer a copy of his response to that report. So what I was going to do is quickly read through the report so that everybody can have an understanding of what this is. And it's, of course, it's going to be presented to the rest of council if it hasn't already. So if you will allow me, Mr. Mayor, I'll read through this quickly.
Please.
Dear Mr. Phelan, Suburban Consulting Engineers Incorporated, SCE, has reviewed the Phase 1 Environmental Site Assessment Report for the reference property. The site prepared by Windward Environmental Solutions, January 2010, on behalf of the owner, Jorg Wine. SCE has recommended such an assessment be conducted to protect the bid and the borough from any environmental liabilities that could arise from the acquisition of this property. The report addresses the likelihood of potential recognized environmental concerns at the property and nearby sites in general accordance with the governing technical criteria, ASTM 1527D. The Phase 1 ESA, which is again is environmental site assessment, identified the site, historic environmental conditions, business operations, and adjacent site characteristics using standard ASTM recommended sources and methods, including a review of previous reports for borough-owned lots comprising the new municipal parking lot and the former dry cleaning facility known as Modern Valet. As the report notes, the former building that occupied the site burned down in 2005 and the remnants were subsequently raised and the site leveled. Windward concluded that there were no RECs on the site or nearby properties that pose an imminent or threat to site from an environmental perspective, with the exception of regional groundwater contamination associated with U.S. EPA's Pohatcom Valley groundwater contamination issues, which affect groundwater quality beneath the borough as a whole and surrounding areas. They note that soils near what was the former heating oil UST at the site were tested and did not indicate potential petroleum-related contamination, and that other sites of the environmental concern identified by their database searches were too distant and or down gradient to pose an environmental concern to the site. Windward also considers the historic fill sealed below the recent parking lot per the NJDEP's requirements to be a non-issue. However, SCE believes that the rear and sides of the facility could contain some quantity of historic fill similar to in composition to what was recently encountered on the parking lot site. Further, there did not appear to be any information relative to what the former foundation area was backfilled with in light of New Jersey's clean fill certification requirements, and if the foundation remnants still exist, this remains unaddressed. In light of our recent experience with adjoining properties, SDE recommends further evaluation of the historic fill and backfill material by the current owner prior to finalizing property transfer. This can be done by accomplishing through discussion with the owner, followed by a limited one-day field assessment using a small geoprobe drilling rig to visually evaluate the fill materials and selectively analyze core samples for historic fill compounds. If you have any questions or wish to discuss the site further, please contact me. Very truly yours, Andrew Holt, Suburban Consulting Engineers.
That's all I have.
I have a comment on that. It was through our engineer that he recommended a phase one study that was done.
That's
now after the phase one study is done, he's coming back saying more work needs to be done.
When I spoke with him, his exact words were phase ones can conclude this information. This firm chose not to include it as part of their study. Phase one report will meet our needs.
What, didn't we tell them what we wanted?
Yes. And it's my understanding. Remember, this was...
My question is this. When Andrew said we want a phase one study, did he include what it is that we wanted in a phase one study?
Remember, Andrew wasn't involved in the phase one study.
He's the one who recommended that a phase one
correct.
Study be done.
Part of the phase one, this phase one met all the requirements of phase one, but it didn't address the adjoining properties. In essence, it was omitted from the study. If it was addressed in here, it would have met the full scope of what a phase one requires. This firm that was hired by the property owners chose not to address it. Why, I don't know. This was hired by the property owners.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. When the hardware store burned down, everything was filled into the foundation, and Jack Van Cleef moved his dirt from where he put his buildings up into the foundation. He had to get approval to move that dirt in there, didn't he?
I don't know. I wasn't here. I have no idea what happened to that.
Wouldn't the engineer have to approve that? Him moving the dirt from where he
no, that would have been approved from the state if it went through the permitting process.
My point.
So we need to look at that a little further.
But Andrew, I don't believe Andrew was the engineer at the time, was he? I don't know.
I don't know.
Not in doubt. Okay.
Again, when I spoke with him, his main concerns was we had to remove tons and tons and tons of contaminated historic fill from the parking lot. His concern was to make sure that nothing leached over into this parcel. His exact words to me, everything on the report is fine. The only item that remains unaddressed is this historic fill. And it wouldn't have been an issue if there wasn't historic fill problems on the parking lot side. His exact words were he doesn't want to find out that it was ignored. In a couple of years, it costs us 10 times as much as it would for the property owners to verify it now. Because if this agreement goes forward, we're stuck with it.
Okay, can we see the previous engineer's reports as to, approvals as to what went in there?
Well, it wouldn't have gone through our engineers. These are private property owners.
But when they do that, don't they need a site plan when they come in front of the planning board?
I don't know what was done to the property after the fire. I don't know.
I think the bottom line is, you need to follow the engineer's recommendation.
I guess the question is council satisfied with the phase one report that doesn't address this fill? Or would you like to have the current property owners address this concern? Because in 5 years, we'll wind up taking this property over.
I'd like to see the drilling done.
Now, this wouldn't cost us anything. This would be done at the property owner's expense.
Unless there is some certification that the fill that was used for it was clean, whether that comes from the DEB or something like that.
You said Mr. Van Cleef. I'm sorry?
What does this do to the process?
It's done in parallel. I mean, it's essentially what happens is if they agree to do this, it could be done in parallel because we wouldn't be able to execute even introduction of the agreement until the 16th meeting. And then from there,
theoretically, you can introduce on the 16th, but I wouldn't recommend public hearing and adoption pending the outcome of this report, which could take a week, could take a month, however long it takes the homeowners to contract out.
Right.
Is the bid aware of this?
I got this letter this afternoon about 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock.
Right. So we can definitely bring it to Sandy's attention tomorrow. Or the manager at this point. It probably should come from the manager.
And I think that the concern is do we want to ignore the professional's recommendation, or do we want to, in essence, cover our ends in case something happens? If there wasn't, if my recommendation is, aside from the fact it's not going to cost us anything, because it would be borne by the property owner, we've had known contaminants at the property right next door.
I think we should pay attention to what they're telling us.
I think it's in our best interest to make sure there's no contamination in there. I don't think either the bid or the borrow is any condition, financial condition, to take this on if there's contaminated soil.
So, John, you want to go ahead with the boring, the geoprobe, recommended by the engineer, Vic?
Yeah, I mean, based on the history of that lot, absolutely.
Yeah. Terry?
Yes. I've been bored ever since.
Yes.
Dave?
Well, here's the bottom line. If they got approval to move that dirt, wouldn't it have to have been tested prior to being moved?
This is also assuming it was done properly then. I don't know the property owners, and you're saying Mr. Van Cleef took the property and filled it? I'm asking. I don't know. I wasn't here.
Yeah.
I mean, I can reach out to him.
Well, when he put his new buildings up, he took the dirt that they leveled and dumped it in the foundation.
But also that dirt came from the same contiguous property that's contaminated.
Right. Was that the...
But that was under buildings.
Was that the dirt that was in a parking lot the way they removed?
No.
It was different.
It was under the new building there.
So it was under his building.
The question really becomes, was the fill that Mr. Van Cleef used to fill it, was that tested? If the Van Cleefs can prove that soil was tested and came up clean,
then we don't need to drill.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Then you don't need to drill.
That's fine. I mean, assuming everything was done properly then. So he filled the parking lot side and the park side.
No. Where his buildings are right now, there were three structures.
Right.
Those structures were level.
Right.
He took the soil from where those structures were leveled,
mm-hmm.
and he moved that to level out to build his building. He moved that dirt to the foundation.
At the same time, though, we can't be sure. So, I mean, this isn't going to cost the borough anything to have the soil tested. So I think we should be sure and have it tested rather than speculate where the soil exactly came from.
Unless the soil has been tested and proven clean, I think we should go ahead with the GeoProbe. Mm-hmm. You know, and if there's such a document.
I don't want to put the borough at any further risk down the road, and I'm sure the bid doesn't want to either.
Right.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we have the manager contact the property owners.
Well, what I would do is I would contact the bid,
okay.
Let them know our engineer recommends this, and the bid will have to reach out to the property owners because they are the first point of contact between the property owners. I'll also copy them on the letter.
Mr. Mayor. Okay, that was your motion?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you go? You have information on that?
History on that dirt. Regardless.
Yes, history on that dirt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the hardware store.
Correct.
Okay. I inspected that property 3 months before it broke out, and I noted a number of violations. Okay. Right after the fire, I wrote a letter to the Wines, George and Sissy, who own the property, and told them that as the zoning and code enforcement official, I required a soil test be done of the property of the hardware store prior to anything being filled in. Okay, any dirt being filled in at ground level though. Nothing was done until I did get my letter back stating that there were minor contaminants that didn't cause a problem to anybody. So I told them they could fill it in.
Was the dirt that it was filled with, was that tested?
That had to be because by borough code it had to come in. The borough engineer had to certify it.
Do you have documents to that effect, Mr. Bashir?
Is the dirt coming in?
No, the what you're saying. Do you
it's in the file.
Okay. Do you have to put the soil test samples or like?
I got the report from the environmental company.
For the soil that was used?
For the soil at the hole, when it was a hole yet.
Okay.
Because that was a two-level basement.
My question, though, is the soil that was dumped in the hole.
Yeah. Bob Miller and I had a meeting before they dumped it in, and I, you know, he told me that he was going to ensure that it was tested prior to coming into the borough.
Do we have documentation that it actually was tested?
No, I have no documentation on the dirt that was the fill dirt.
If you could get the documents that you have to Mr. Phelan, and then maybe we can reach out to Mr. Miller and see if there is a test that he has.
Well, that's going to take time, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the documents that Mr. Shearer has can be...
Aren't we better off to satisfy our engineer's request and have the Winans fulfill their obligation to the original... meaning of the ordinance that
could we have the motion amended that we would have the geoprobe done provided there is no documentation that the land, the dirt used in it is not clean?
Can we make a suggestion?
Yeah, sure.
If the engineer says in his opinion that that's acceptable, because why take a chance? You know, you're talking about you picking up the cost 5 years down the road if there's a problem. Right? Why would you ever take a chance?
We're 10 years down the road.
Especially if you don't have to pay for it. I mean, that's typical for the seller to be responsible for that.
Okay. Did we pay him to review that test that was already done in phase one?
Andrew?
Yes.
As part of his general.
Are we going to pay him again?
Mm-hmm. He's not doing, he wouldn't be doing the testing.
No, we're going to pay him to review the report again.
No. Probably not. If you want the professional seal of approval, correct.
But isn't the bid paying for our professional?
The bid should be paying for all the legal and engineering that's costs associated with this. Andrew, in his instance...
So we didn't have to pay for Andrew's...
When you say we, it's we, like the borough, bid/borough. We didn't expend any money on this.
Right.
Borough, if you recall correctly, the borough council said it goes forward, but the bid had to pay for all professional costs associated with it. When this invoice comes to me, which I get all of our professionals' invoice, it gets passed on to the bid. The same is with our redevelopment attorney when they needed them for this as well.
Rich, have you heard back from Joe Bauman yet on the agreement? Isn't he supposed to review the agreement?
He's reviewing it. He hasn't gotten back to me yet on it, no.
Okay. Rich, with all of this going on, do we have proof that the dirt from the Van Cleef project is actually all used in that facility?
Well, yeah, we got
some. You mean way back when or with the parking lot now?
With the current parking lot.
No, right now the parking lot, the dirt that was removed was cleaned and it's in a pile stored.
No. I mean from the Van Cleef property.
Oh.
It was used, in other words, was dirt taken from someplace else and put in there?
I have no idea.
The dirt did not come from the Van Cleef property.
But
the dirt for the hardware store did not come from Van Cleef.
Yes, it did. I sat down there and watched it.
Did it? It wasn't supposed to have been.
It did.
Sorry, but
where was it supposed to come from?
Because we were kind of there. We were drilling in the building next door that he eventually tore down. We were drilling in that building when the antique store caught fire. They filled that hole up within days and not a couple of weeks. They hadn't even been honest with those buildings yet.
Watching them load your dump truck, driving it down there, dumping and driving out.
If I may, since there's no documentation of where the soil came from, it's really irrelevant.
Right.
We should focus on, if council wants, I can pass their sentiments on to the bid and have further testing done.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Hauser, you were about to make a motion?
Yes, I made a motion that we have the manager contact the bid and have them contact the owners of the property to have satisfied the requirements of our engineer.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Any abstentions? Are there any other committee reports? And I would accept a motion for a 10-minute break.
I'll move it.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Abstention. Just for your
reference. Okay. Some of the professional costs at the Board of Adjustment instead of us. Apparently we don't. For the Planning Board we do, not the Board of Adjustment. Yeah.
Guilty. Okay, there's a motion.
That's just for
the escrow account.
That's just for the ordinance creating the ability to use escrow in the Board of Adjustment.
I second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion?
Deputy Mayor?
Yes, sir.
That would be for an applicant that wants to put on a deck or anything like that.
That's correct.
Yep. There's set fees for that? Is there statutes that can't exceed, or is it the
cost of the thing times 10% is an escrow?
Well, it would be the, if I understand what you're talking about, the engineer and the attorney's fees would normally get billed, let's say, for preparation of a resolution. And you've identified the issue I was going to bring up, which is, you know, this is a town with a lot of decks. It's a lot of small, you know, adjustments because of the tight zoning. So you're going to have people complaining that they had to pay $1,000 for the attorney or the engineer or whatever. Although I got to tell you, you're the only town that I'm aware of. I represent five other towns, and everybody bills for the escrow.
And when I was chairman of the Board of Adjustments, in the year and a half I was chair, we never had one issue, with the exception of Sorella's property in Van Cleef trying to buy that property. We never had anybody come before us that, you know, had a huge, you know, that employed an engineer or anything like that. It was always like, you know, a waiver for a deck, because basically what happens to the Board of Adjustments is they say they want to build a 50-foot deck on their house. So Rudy comes in and slaps him down and says, no way, you can do 12 feet, right, because of setback rules and whatever, whatever. So they appeal it, they come to the Board of Adjustments, we hear the case. Stuart's already there, so...
This would only be for above and beyond things that can't be resolved at the meeting.
Right.
So if the plan review or what have you by professional.
Some huge site development or something like that was not planning board related.
So it almost sounds like we wouldn't even need an engineer here if they're already come with engineer-approved plans.
In most cases, you're 100% right. If it's a big to-do, they're going to bring their own people.
Exactly.
Right.
The planning board does it, you know, most planning board.
A little different, planning board versus Board of Adjustment.
Oh, correct. It's size and scale. I'm oversimplifying, but the question is it is an option to allow us not to have to spend tax dollars.
Right. Realistically, is this ever going to happen? Minimal? Probably not. But
it's probably worthwhile to have it, because if you had a big commercial application, you certainly wouldn't want to have to subsidize commercial application.
Again, to Dick's point, if the commercial application came in and said, well, I don't want to bring my own engineer, or I don't want to bring my own whatever, and then it would fall on us to have our engineer look at all of that.
Or if they had their engineer, you'd still have to have your engineer do it, review the plans, and you'd have to have... you know, the attorney perhaps draw resolutions or look at agreements or whatever. But if it's a bigger thing, you know, the question is, if you know, as Pat describes it, if most of the people are coming in on an informal basis, then you probably don't want to, you got to be careful with that, because you don't want the professionals to start billing for that kind of stuff and then create problems for you. Not that we professionals ever get into trouble here in the borough. So, so I think the bottom line is you got to just be careful how that works.
Would you like to see a draft?
Wait, can we do wording such that if it's anything above and beyond the normal?
Well, I think you have to do it for everyone or no one.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. But the question, I think, is the passport, is that if the board doesn't want the professionals to look at it because they feel comfortable, then you don't have to have any fees by the professionals other than, you know, the normal fee for the professional sitting at the meeting, but that's a board expense as compared to an applicant.
Right, sure. Rich, do you know, was that brought to the board's attention that they can make those decisions without?
That was requested by Stu Hours on the 11th hour, but I don't know if it was brought to them. I know we received the copy of the letter and it was sent to the Board of Adjustments.
Here it says CC and Kildoff to be distributed to the Board of
Adjustments. Right. If you want.
I was just curious about what Dick had said, that maybe the board doesn't know that they don't have to rely on Stewart's opinion or the engineer, because the people already did it.
What I would recommend is if we come up with a concept, a draft, we can send it to them for their approval before council would even introduce it. Get their feedback first.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I think we should do a draft, have it sent to the chairman so he can review it. Yeah.
As a follow-up to Mr. Hours' letter, here's a draft for
your comment.
With
it,
because it's almost like you're double dipping. If they get their own engineer and you have one sitting here.
Well, I don't know how often the engineer gets called to the meetings either.
Never. I mean, when I was there,
but
never.
I'll come up with a draft. You guys can give your once over. I'll send it to them for their comment, and we can tweak it accordingly, if you're all right with that.
That's fine. I made the motion, so I'm okay with that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Does everyone understand the motion?
I'm going to abstain.
Didn't you second it?
I did.
Well, just withdraw your second.
I'm going to withdraw my second. I didn't realize who it was affecting.
Yeah. Okay, you seconded it, Dave? Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And, excuse me, I just want a quick side note here with the resolution. The other one that we didn't address tonight, Lumberton, is the governing body want to consider that one as well?
Yep.
Or not consider it at all?
With the League of Municipal.
Yeah, I was very shocked.
The League of Municipal.
I was very shocked when I heard this on the radio a few weeks back. I never realized the League of Municipality employees pay into the pension system to get pensions. In addition to receiving our membership dues.
How much is our membership?
$517. We just received the bill.
A year?
$517 a year.
What do we get for that?
We get reduced cost on training.
And we pull the trigger on that training.
Well, remember, every professional here, tax collector, CFO, purchasing agent, everyone needs CEUs, so we get reduced costs. You have to maintain certain CEUs. The difference between member and non-member fees are, depending on the class, can be substantial. Again, I brought this to your attention because I know council was concerned with, you know, merging of school boards and all of these things. I didn't know if this was something you wanted. If you want it, we can move forward. If you don't, you don't. I'm
just
indifferent.
Just in support of the league. The league does a lot of good for municipalities. The one, it's your lobbying group down in Trenton. God knows you need a lobbying group down there because the guys in the state are going to be grabbing your money. The counties are going to be grabbing your money if you don't have somebody down there to really fight for you. So, and plus they have a very good information service. They tell you what bills are up. They tell you whether it's a good bill or a bad bill from the municipal standpoint. So there's a lot of value, in my opinion, from the league. I mean, obviously it's a good call, but
I think we reap more than $517 a year in knowledge from them because your membership is based on population.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I can't speak to the larger towns. Again, I heard it on the radio. I went to their website, I printed it, just because it was a tax-related, a budget thing. If you want it, fine. I mean, if you don't, that's fine, too.
Does that include the price of the magazines?
No, the magazines are separate price.
Are we still getting them?
No.
Okay.
Good. That was like $200-something
yeah.
a year. I had actually made a motion to cancel it, and I got pretty much jumped all over about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's up. Your choice.
Does anybody want to consider it?
You want to think about it and get back?
I actually think that, you know, based on the number of $500 versus the savings from, you know, reduced fees and, you know, for training and stuff, I think it's a wash, you know, so I'd rather just assume keep it.
Yes.
I mean, if anybody has
I'm not going to lie, say we do receive benefit from them. I'm just putting it out there. That's fine.
Well, again, it's good that we're looking at everything.
Can I jump back just to the escrows? I'm looking at your ordinances here, and your planning board ordinances, I mean, I don't get involved in them, I use them, but they're somewhat archaic. I don't see a provision in here at all for escrow.
Even in a planning board site?
I don't see it. It's a little reference to it, but there's a state statute that actually establishes the method for escrow payments, and most municipalities have an ordinance that actually incorporates that into the planning board ordinance and the board of adjustment. Now, maybe I'm overlooking, I'm just skimming through as you're talking, but that really should be in your ordinances.
Hmm.
So don't we maybe when you're looking at it.
Don't we have to redo the planning board and the board of adjustment ordinances because we're going with the land use board?
No,
no. You have to have an ordinance to do that.
We're not going with the land use.
Oh, I thought. No. I'm sorry.
If you do that, you need an ordinance, but it's a simple ordinance.
Okay.
It just empowers the planning board.
I just thought everything incorporated.
What I will do then is, once we confirm if it's not in there,
yeah.
We can come up with one that encompasses both.
That's correct. Well, we would just do that at the beginning of the
That's fine.
Okay.
Right, so no on the league. Is that what I'm hearing now? Okay.
Vouchers.
No.
I move we pay our bills.
No for a league. He was asking over here.
No, we don't pay our bills.
Okay, we have a motion to pay our bills.
Good way to get that deficit.
Yeah, right.
Can we have a second? Janine?
That's back in the room.
Questions? Discussion?
Deputy Mayor, I would like to ask on the sewer voucher.
The 2009 one or 10 one?
2010.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, I don't see anything for chemical purchases because we treat the water. So why wouldn't we see what it costs, like for ferric chloride or chlorine?
Veolia bills us for the service. It's encompassed in their service.
So that's in... That's included in your services?
Yes. They make all the purchases. They send us an invoice.
So like we don't. So you don't have an itemized bill of what they're purchasing?
No. Contractually, we know what we have to pay them each month. And if they have to buy 1,000 tons of chemicals or 1 ton, it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah. So contractually, we get billed for them each month. Right. The only thing that fluctuates is the actual utility charges.
Are they not reporting to you with the Form R for OSHA about how much chemicals you're keeping on site?
I get a monthly report that I have a file going back years. I keep it on in downstairs in my file.
All right. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I have a couple questions on this. On the page 13, the school tax. Is that what we pay them per quarter, or is that half a payment?
That's quarter.
$316,000?
Well, that's yeah. That's a local school tax. Quarter of the local school tax. Yeah.
Page 9, the water bill.
I'm sorry, page?
9. There's no water, there's not a bill listed there for the park. Did we ever find out how much?
It was on my weekend.
Yeah. No, I sent an email. I thought.
No.
No, the short version of it is it looked, we pulled all the bills from the past year, and they were all consistent, because right after that, the bill dropped. The next bill dropped.
So even in December?
Yeah.
The previous year?
Yeah, it was at the same, you know, give or take a little bit, same level. And then the bill after that, the month after, it dropped. So something was going on there that was using water because of the subsequent bill after that. Now, I spoke with Andrew Holt, and he actually felt the same way I did. Something doesn't seem right. So when he can, what he's going to have to do is one of his interns who needs credit is going to come there and do a little investigating for us. But the short version of it is the month after that bill, it dropped. So I don't think it's a leak. I think it's just whatever usage was happening at the time.
Wow. I do have one other question on page 5. The Fort Colden Mall.
Yes. Trust account out of escrow. It's being paid out of escrow.
That was for the meter that was placed in there?
Yeah. Well, this was under the legal services associated with that from way back when. This is paid out of the escrow account.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yep.
Any other questions on the bills?
I had questions on the bills, but Manager Phelan already took care of it via email.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We have a roll call, please.
Leonie?
Yes.
Leila?
Yes, but I abstained from page 4, so now it's just open.
Howdle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, we took care of old business. New business, Resolution 38-2010.
Move Resolution 38-2010.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
This is just for the connection fee.
That's correct. The EDU fees will be on for the 16th for discussion and consideration.
This is actually one of the lowest ranges for the connection fee. I had to get my...
The lowest range is compared to...
Well, a couple years ago, was like, you know, this was like $400. I think it was $400. I'm not sure.
I have to check.
$300, but there's things on there, seven, eight.
For this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, Resolution 39-2010, release of escrow.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I got a question.
Opposed?
Just for a matter of a question. You know, we approved the bill list. This is on the bill list.
Well, the bill list was supposed to come after, and that's my mistake because I forgot to ask Christine to put the bill list after new business. That's
okay.
My mistake.
All right.
We did that at the last meeting on something, but we put the bill list after. Oversight on my part.
Any objections? Abstentions? Okay, Resolution 40-2010?
Salute.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Objections? Okay. Resolution 42-2010. Manager has an explanation on that. Can we have a motion first before we discuss it?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, go ahead, Rich.
Sure. If you remember, in 2009, the borough engineer advised us that the Highlands had a grant program available to do water conservation studies, max of $5,000. At the time, borough council authorized the application for the grant. And it was on the premise, and I had it in writing from the engineer, that if it went forward and if it was approved by council, the agreement was executed, the work would be done, but he would not get paid until we received the grant money from Highlands. That's what this is. We've received the agreement from Highlands. They have told us we met the requirements. We're eligible not to exceed five. I've attached a draft scope of services from Suburban Consulting Engineers, and I reminded him, and I have his original email, which I don't remember if it's attached to this or not. On the last page, in essence, it says they'll wait to receive it. That's what this is for.
Is this discussion, then?
Yep.
I guess I would just, I still have that concern that it doesn't really say not to exceed.
Well, his email.
But I got it in the resolution.
I mean, what I can do is, this a resolution isn't appointing Andrew to do anything. This resolution is executing the agreement with Highlands.
I guess I don't understand what all is involved in this. So, I mean, what if this pilot project really is $20,000 of work, but they're only giving us $5,000?
Well, they've only...
Are you committed to staying in this program?
No. We were awarded five. Andrew gave us a proposal not to exceed five to do the work in order to be compliant with Highlands requirements. Anything over five is eaten up by Andrew's firm. It doesn't cost us anything. We only get five from Highland, and that's all we expend.
And there's a scope of services here?
There's a scope of services attached.
Yeah. He's provided the service already?
No, not at all.
No, because he waited.
I told him not until you guys sign this agreement. It's spent on the Highlands.
What was the other Highlands thing we voted down? Weren't they in front of us?
The 25.
That was
money.
That was the module one, I believe, for the plant performance. Right. That's Highlands, yes, different grant project. So the bottom line is, if you decide to go forward and execute this agreement, it won't cost us anything.
Would we be better to satisfy Janine's concern in the second paragraph where it says...
Well, remember, this is
just to the Highlands, right?
This is just to the Highlands. What I can do is, when I contact Andrew going forward, because, you know, he provided the scope of services, if council approves this, I'll sign his scope of services acknowledging that we accept it, you know, and I'll say, as a condition of your email dated July 30th, as a reminder, we will not be paying you incrementally. You won't get paid until we receive full funding from Highlands.
And then it won't exceed $5,000.
Well, if it exceeds $5,000, it's on him. We're only reimbursing him up to the $5,000 we get from Highlands.
So that separate resolution approving his scope of services?
He's already been approved in a professional service contract at reorganization. This is important.
But doesn't that, because I still have concerns with scope of services and 15.
Does he agree that the scope of services here not to exceed $5,000? Is that anywhere in this document that Andrew Holt agrees that this scope of services will never be more than $5,000?
Yes, it is. On the email. Okay. And yes, it's in there.
So that's what you're referencing,
okay,
right? That would have to be referenced.
No, I can reference it in the cover letter when I send them the contract.
Would it be worthwhile then to have a resolution at the next meeting to memorialize the scope of services according to resolution 2010?
I don't know if I'll be able to have it at the next meeting, because if you actually memorialize it via resolution, it has to be done in accordance with pay to play, and then I need him to fill out the paperwork, and I need it 10 days prior to the meeting. But if you remember, council awarded him a contract at reorg.
Yeah.
For the hourly rate. He's met the requirements of the scope of services. They just need your okay, and I'll memorialize the...
Is everybody happy with that?
If you're unhappy with the scope of services, tell me now. I mean, what's what he's provided.
What's the urgency in doing this?
What's the urgency? There's no urgency.
No, I'm talking about doing this...
Because we just got the agreement from Highlands.
Participating in a water use and conservation...
Well, they're saying that there may not be enough water to suffice borough and township. And in order for anybody to look for water, you've got to comply with Highlands.
And that's right. If you recall earlier this year, whether or not we participate in Highlands doesn't change the fact that we have to abide by all of their rules. If we play nice with them, we get some grant funding that pays for our expense. If we don't play nice, we still have to abide, but we have to pay for it.
right, so this resolution is just accepting the $5,000 grant?
Correct. Executing the agreement in accordance with the terms of the agreement that are attached. And Andrew supplied the scope of services saying that his fees won't exceed $5,000.
Yeah, well, I guess the favorite word for me is waffle. I voted for this, and, but I'm just not a big pilots guy.
I agree. I think it's a huge expense.
Are we making a motion?
We have a motion.
Well,
we have
a second.
Who made the motion?
I didn't make the motion.
Christy?
Who made the motion?
Councilman Cioni made the motion, seconded by Councilman Valentine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've been too late.
Yeah,
it's late. It's been one of those nights. All right. Any other discussion? Can we have a roll call on this, please?
Cioni?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Cleaver?
Yes.
Calvo?
Yes.
Megan?
Never voted for anything from where I was. No.
Go ahead.
No, I'm changing my vote from earlier in the year.
Okay.
No, I don't either.
Okay, let's move on to Resolution 43-2010, a leave of absence.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Resolution 44-2010?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I have a question. What happened to Resolution 41-2010?
That was four.
It was earlier in it, yeah.
Okay, so recap.
I'm sorry, when do we make the sewer fees?
What I did is I gave council information tonight. I gave council the report from
Stephanie
Lewis, and I found an old report from 1998 from Hatchmont McDonald. I think what the best course of action right now is for council to fully digest this and call me with any questions. And what I can do is I can put a resolution on for the next meeting, leaving the amounts blank to be filled in at the meeting.
Can you print out at least one copy of that? There's 24 pages, so we have a hard copy.
This Stephanie Lewis one?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. For the next meeting, or for you, let me put it in your mouth?
For everybody to see.
I already have a copy.
Did everyone?
I've
been working on that.
So you, right, so you just need a hard copy, Dave? You're the only one who needs a hard copy?
No problem.
And just a quick side note, just because Victor brought up the issue of EDUs. As you're reading it, Stephanie has offered to answer any questions gratis. So if anyone has any questions,
oh good.
I said let's take. She provided that whole report for me as a favor. It didn't cost us anything.
Send them to you. You send them to her.
Yes, and then I'll copy everybody. Also, if anyone, in addition, to any non-Stephanie related questions, let me know as well. But whatever council's decision is at the next meeting, I think it's prudent that we work with Stephanie, we work with our wastewater engineer, and we work with the CFO to project out this from now for the next 10 years, the way it was done in 2000. But I'll get you, the answers to any questions you may have.
Okay, are you ready?
You can do a recap.
Dave, you want me to email you that report? I'm going to follow up with the Board of Ed regarding the additional shared services agreement. Getting a price for a forensic audit. I'm going to make a couple calls first before we go through the full sealed process, but if we have to, we'll go through the sealed process. Check the township website regarding where court fines are being billed. Mail a letter to the AOC with a draft agreement and resolution for their review and approval or denial. Warren County League of Municipalities, I'll find out what the meeting dates are and make arrangements for attendance. Let Suburban Consulting know, let the bid know that council wants a little more detailed study done on the potential for the historic property. The sewer EDUs are going to go on for the 16th for discussion. I will work on a draft Board of Adjustment Planning Board escrow ordinance. I'll just verify that it's not there, that in the event the book might not be updated.
and a hard copy.
I took Bruce's report from Dave.
I thought my recap was
efficient.
Okay. Council remarks. Janine.
Okay, I have a few. We already covered the one. We might have a couple more recaps.
Yeah.
With regards to the sewer billing in-house, I don't know if I need to make a motion or to have people be able to pay it with their tax bill. And also to look into direct deposit so people can just direct deposit.
Anyone can pay a sewer bill at any time, whether it's with a tax bill or not.
Pay it here, though.
Once it's brought in-house, it'll be...
Absolutely.
Yeah, because when we bring it in-house, we're taking it all over.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so then we don't have to do this. So you'll be able to pay it with the tax bill.
Absolutely.
If you could look into maybe direct deposits so people could just, you know what I mean, so the money would just be pulled from the bank into the...
Like what a mortgage company kind of does?
Yeah, we pay all our bills just directly taken out of our...
I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Right. Through the bank. I misunderstood what you said.
I know that there are some... We get charged for that, like every credit card transaction. So there's a charge, which means there's certain purchasing laws that kick in and all that stuff. But I can look into that.
Right.
Janine, just be careful when you say about paying the sewer with the taxes. It has to be two separate payments.
Into the office.
Right. Okay.
Since it's both quarterly.
Right.
And
we looked at online bill pay, just so you know, about 2 and 3 years ago, almost now, was brought up. But there was an initial cost associated with setting it up of about $1,500
per transaction.
I don't do anything online anyway, it wasn't just for me then. A reminder, I won't be here at the next meeting. And then with regards to your 9-month goals, because I was behind reading that, you gave I meant to say this at the last meeting, but we were here still after midnight, I think. You mentioned that when you gave us the budget information, you would give us a 5-year capital plan, and
half the department still haven't given it to me yet. And aside from the fact that we haven't done capital last year, we haven't done capital this year, there's not much of a plan.
Yeah, but maybe we could combine it even with like council, you know, like because I mentioned this before. I think it would be good to have some kind of goals, you know, that even as a council person that we'd like to accomplish in our role. And then also in your goals, and someone else mentioned this, I was going to mention the organization chart when it's available. If we could, show what type of a government we have, you know, with the mayor, council, manager, the department, the employees, and then the contact number, so that we could put it on the website. It'd be a snapshot of our government and a snapshot of.
That'll have to create, because the one that the comptroller asked for was strictly internal. It had to do with my position down. It didn't account for volunteers, council, all that stuff. So we can certainly create another one. That's no problem.
Yeah, I would like to do that. And maybe we can just work on that before we
get
the other
one. If you want, I can email you the one I have, and we can tweak it accordingly.
Yeah, and then we can get it on the website, and I think it would just...
I would actually add to that and say we don't put names on it. So this way, it doesn't have to be changed every time new people come and go, right? Like you can have borough managers that are being failed.
I think it'd be good to have a name. This way, after this snapshot, again, if you put the phone number, so that you
can... That's fine. That makes sense. I don't know. I was just trying to avoid constant reboot.
Well, I would say, we don't have to update it weekly, John.
We
have a date on the bottom, you know.
We have bigger problems if we have to update it weekly.
Yeah. I hope we don't have to update it weekly.
That was good, Janine.
That's fine. Anything else, Janine?
That's it.
Thank
you.
Dave? Yeah, I've got a couple things here. I didn't want to mention this when everybody was here because I don't, you know, it was a personnel thing with Kay, the CFO, and treasurer and all.
Well, tread lightly because if you're going to talk personnel, no one's been noticed.
Okay.
If you're unclear, call me tomorrow.
Well,
it was in reference to
that. Well, no, but it depends on what you
say. Well, that's correct.
I won't mention any names. I won't mention any names.
This is not an executive.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But you don't want to go on.
I won't mention any names. Yes. I believe how it went was the CFO was separated from...
CFO was separated from tax collector.
Right. But from the tax collector. And I think that the treasurer stayed with the tax collector. I think that's the only thing that was separated.
I'm not sure.
If you could check on that...
We get monthly reports from her now that say
we could just go back and check.
Understood.
And I don't know.
And the other thing is just to clarify what Christina said.
John Cora handled all that. There was no huge, our office was actually engaged, and then we were told stop, and we did nothing more on that, just to clarify that for council. I don't think there was any massive legal things. I didn't even know what the resolution of the matter was. It's a little embarrassing.
But that's an internal policy anyway. But.
Okay. We all received a letter from an employee who requested permission to talk to us. Should we respond, like, come to a council meeting?
Go to the manager? I wouldn't respond, and I spoke with them. Okay. I've been in constant contact with them. Two reasons. One, all due respect, personnel matters aren't handled by the governing body. I don't think you want to take on that burden. Two, I told them, with the whole process of what has to go on with civil service, it's not, I have to go through the process and make the notification. At a moment's notice, this can all change. If council decides next month, next week, that they want to keep everything the status quo and don't make any cuts, there might not be a reason to get rid of this person. This, and I explained this to him, it's all based on what's going to happen in the next few weeks, budget-wise. So I would say no, don't respond to him, don't entertain his questions, and I'm not saying that to be nasty, I explained that to him as well, that it's a personnel matter, it's not a council matter. And that doesn't mean he couldn't come to a council meeting and speak.
All right.
But, I mean, that everyone has the right to do that.
And whoever you're talking about, I don't know, because I didn't get the letter, so.
It might be in your mailbox.
It was in the mailbox. I got it. All
right. I can get you a copy.
No, that's fine. I don't need it.
But I plan on calling him tomorrow as well.
Okay. I know that we had talked earlier, and I had thought about it, the $89,000. We as a council, everybody sitting here, I think, except for Janine, well, just us three. But we dedicated by resolution $89,000 to go to fix the South Prospect Street problem. Now, I don't know how that can be overridden by something else. You know what I mean? So that's $89,000 that goes into the sewer account.
Which street again, I'm sorry?
South Prospect. You remember, Terry?
Well, R.J. Gardner's Court.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Gardner's Court. I'm sorry.
Maybe that's why I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it for South Prospect.
I thought it was South Prospect because that's where...
Now, to answer your question, if it was dedicated, and I'm not saying it wasn't, I'm not saying it wasn't, if it was dedicated, I can't say what happened in the past.
I understand
If it was sewer funds that you took to dedicate to offset current, it's quite possible it was just used offset current. I mean, that would come out if council decides to move forward with the forensic audit.
But it's still not illegal if it was
Again, even if it was, the only thing that would have happened is if my predecessor or predecessors, I don't know when it transpired, did it, it's a violation of the statute, but it's not a criminal violation. And interfunds are allowed.
And it's a process that's no longer being
I stopped that very early on. Yeah.
But my point to that is that if that $89,000 is still floating out there somewhere, that can go back to the sewer.
I didn't find, because we looked at all the previous financial reports, the annual financial statements and everything, and there's no random 89 grand. There's no outstanding $89,000 account anywhere.
Do you remember it, Terry?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what that was originally from.
It was from the sewer plant because that's when RJ and all those and what the other lady's name came and because of the pitch.
Right, right. I know it was because of the pitch, but I don't think it was because at first we were told with the project at the park that we were going to use that $89,000 for
which
that.
Which was never done.
Right, because John fixed it.
Right.
But I'm not sure where that original money was left over from, whether it was sewer.
He told us because it could be done because it was moving from the sewer plant to the collection system.
Yeah, that I'm not sure of.
The sewer plant to the collection system?
To the collection system.
You remember what resolution number it was?
No, but I can go back and look at that year. I know it was John that was here. I know that it was in January.
See, I was looking for Prospect, not Gardner's. Do you know what year it was?
It
was
2008.
It was the first year we were on council because that's when RJ and what's the lady's name? 07?
Sure 7 was then?
I thought it was 8. I remember it, but I don't think it was. I don't think it was.
Maybe
that
right. I mean, there's.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was 08.
It was sure
right.
08
here. It was 08.
That was a capital ordinance. It wasn't surplus.
No, he told us it was surplus.
No, I believe. Did he say surplus in a capital ordinance, meaning a balance in a capital ordinance?
No, it was unused balance.
Unused balance in a capital ordinance. Then Because I look through all the sewer accounts, and there's no 89 grand there. That would make sense. Sometimes people refer to as balances in capital ordinances as surplus.
Whatever it was that happened in 2008,
I'll check the balances. It might have been approved on an ordinance, but unexpended on an ordinance.
In fact, there was actually a bill from Russell Reed, mm-hmm. because they came up and pumped the manhole.
Keith. Remember the situation? Was that 2008?
Yes.
In what month?
It was rainy season. It was
March, wasn't it?
Was it September?
It was
February,
March. It was just.
Well, if it was a bond ordinance, you approved it in 08, but I guarantee it was a bond ordinance from prior.
Yes.
But you probably didn't, in March, you probably didn't go out for a bond ordinance already, because there was no budgetary money to go out for a bond ordinance. So it might have been 07 money that you guys approved in 08, but I'll look at the ordinances.
I can probably help you, because I'm not going to copy that letter that I read you guys.
I'll see what
that's
I can
when
find.
The flooding happened. That's when I found out about the flooding.
It sounds like it's an unexpended balance on an ordinance, not a surplus, because there was no surplus in sewer last year. I'll look.
Thank you, Keith.
Dave, what else?
That's it.
Pat, just for clarification, if we go in audio minutes after the written minutes are approved, if there's a discrepancy between the audio minutes and the written minutes that are the official minutes, right?
I'm not defaulting. I direct that question to Christine.
Right. My minutes, when I do them, are not verbatim. I don't know if you guys will realize that.
Oh, yeah.
They're really a summary of the action items that happen. So I try to incorporate everyone's comments, and if you feel there's something I'm missing, I put it in there. So these minutes out there are going to be verbatim. So there will be a difference.
So is the audio the official minutes of our meeting?
Well, the minutes are the official meeting. But don't forget, you know, and I've said this before, but the bottom line is that minutes really need to reflect action. With all the respect, what people said up to the action is interesting in terms of people agreeing or disagreeing as to the actions by the opinions expressed by individual committee or council members. But really, the importance of minutes is to memorialize the action that was taken.
Passive
so
failures.
Some clerks use a lot of detail. Some clerks use less detail. My view, in light of the fact that there's transcripts available, you know, that there's a tape available that can be put on the internet, is that the minutes should probably be less detailed, so that you don't get that conflict between the subtle meaning that was expressed by a councilman when he or she spoke and what the interpretation by the clerk who's sitting up there trying to bang out these things as they go along, but not being a court reporter. So, I mean, it's up to you. It's a matter of style. But I just think that you end up in a situation where people are constantly complaining about what the clerk's interpretation is through the minutes. Before we had electronic means, that was important that they be more detailed. Now it's irrelevant. You know, you got the tape. I guess you guys put it right on the internet, right?
That's what we want to do.
Yeah, you want to do it. So you got it there. So if people want to know exactly what was said, let them go to the internet. Don't hang the clerk out by saying, hey, she didn't get this down or that down quickly enough. I mean, I look at her sitting up there typing away. I'm thinking, how could you possibly do that? You know, so that's
perfect.
What I would suggest.
Again, exactly.
It's a matter of your style. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. And you see the other thing with the EDU monthly sewer charge. You know, we were provided some more details, but I mean, I'm strongly against raising the rates on our sewer monthly charge. You really got to think this thing out. There's too much details in the pudding there that we are not getting. I know there's trying to get the information, and that lady's attachment that you gave had a lot of stuff in there, but you know, there's a lot of stuff missing. It stopped like at 2007, I think, you know, a lot of zeros. So.
The last time any action.
Yeah, I know.
That's
so
the problem.
Exactly. You know.
What kinds of things are missing?
Look at your
PDF thing that he sent to you.
I printed it out. I read it. That's what I mean. I must be missing something. Right. I don't understand what you're missing.
The stuff, like in 2006.
The EDU fees were addressed and changed in 2006.
Right. That was the last time. Right. So that, what else is missing?
07, 08, 09, 10, 09?
But it wasn't raised. It's the same rate.
No, the expenses, operating and maintenance, the fund balance.
Now, the reality of it is, like I said, we know what we need to survive 2010. The choice is, do you want to fix it now or do you want to patch it now? Either way, I'd like to move forward with projecting out 10 more years. We know we're 300 shy now, period. I don't, you know what I mean? I could spend the next year tracing every dollar. We know we're 300,000 shy. We know it's because of interfunds. We know that our professionals said every 3 to 5 years, look at EDU increases and gallons per day allotments, and it wasn't done. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I could spend the next year trying to find all this information. It doesn't change the fact that on every annual financial statement for the last couple of years, it shows the declining surplus. I'm not agreeing with the numbers. This is what I have.
Yeah, I mean, when the public's here again, we'll have this conversation.
Well, the answer
is... the system is wrong.
The answer is interfunds are a reason why there's no surplus fund. Plain and simple. I know that may not be the answer you want to hear, but
no,
that's
not
the answer.
I
wish I could give you everything you can. It doesn't exist. That's the problem. Anything else, Pat?
No, thank you, Deputy.
John.
I'm just really glad that all these people were here tonight. I think it was great. I'm always glad when I see residents here.
Not me. When the parking lot's full, I'm like, uh-oh.
I know. I hate walking into that, too, but I'll tell you, I think a lot of learning went on here tonight. And it's good to see community participation. I mean, this is very, very important. As hard as this is, I really wish it would continue, because I think people need to get more familiar with what we have to actually look at and do.
I think it will.
Rather than just having some idealized version of, oh, you got to fix it. You know, looking at the nuts and bolts is a lot different from thinking, oh, we got to take care of this. So I'm just glad that everybody's here.
John, anything else?
That's
besides your warped sense of humor. Victor.
I sent out the draft proposal agreement for the pocket park. Christine, I asked, did you print it out for everybody?
Yes, I printed it out with everyone.
So I'm just asking that everybody review the draft, and if you have questions or comments, please direct them to me before the next meeting, and we could discuss them at the next meeting. If there are no comments or questions, then we're going to assume that the draft agreement is fine, and that's what we're going to move on the 16th.
You want to introduce on the 16th, regardless of whether or not you get the environmental back? If I may, just so everyone remembers, we did that last year, and we postponed the adoption, three times? And every time you postpone it, it costs us money. Because we publish it, then we have to postpone it.
Well, why don't we wait on... If we get confirmation...
If you let us know by note that the Thursday prior to the meeting, we can put it out for intro.
Right. As long as Sandy gets agreement from the Williams or whatever to do the work...
In 2 weeks.
Prior to Thursday, Thursday of the meeting, we can introduce it. If they have a verbal agreement from them or something like that saying they're willing to do that, we can still introduce it, and then the work can go on in parallel to all of the process that we have to go through.
Victor, is it going to be a big setback if we wait till the first meeting in March?
Well, setback, I mean, it's a relative term, right? I mean, I don't want to see the process getting slowed down, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, move ahead prematurely. What I'm saying is let's see what the bid comes back with based on their conversation with the property owners to see if they're all in agreement to do this. We could still at least introduce it, because, again, we're introducing it on the 16th potentially. You know, there's going to be some back and forth. We still have to wait to hear back from Joe Bauman about the agreement itself. So, you know, I don't want to necessarily forestall the process.
So if we have to hear from Joe Bauman, shouldn't we hear from him before we introduce it?
I'm going to...
It should be in parallel to that.
I can send it at the same time, but I'm also going to have to let the bid know that I need to send it to Joe Bama because they have to pay his fees. I don't want to just send it.
I thought we already said
that. No, not the one we... He has the first one. We're going to want a seal of approval on the revisions.
Well,
are we paying anything for Joe Bama?
No.
Bid. So I'll just send him the most updated.
Revisions, yeah. I mean, that makes the most sense.
I'd rather see us wait until the first meeting in March to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row.
How about I do this? Let me see what I can find out between the bid and Joe Bauman and the environmental, and I'll shoot everyone an email, and if I can get everything back in time, I can put it on.
Let's do this, Terry.
16th?
Introduction on the 16th, pending responses that the manager gets from the bid and Joe Bauman.
And what about the results? What if the results come back?
The results of
the test, the environmental.
Well, no. What we're saying is, let's hypothetically, the Wines or whatever, they go to Sandy and they say, yeah, we'll pay for the extra study. Right? Fine. We introduce on the 16th, Bauman, let's say, says, yeah, this is a fine agreement, whatever. It's pretty much standard from the parking lot agreement. We introduce, if there's a problem that comes back from the environmental study that says, oh, by the way, the results are contaminated, everything could stop at that point.
Okay.
And we've really expended nothing.
There's no cost to introduce.
Right.
There's a cost to adopt.
So that's why I'm saying at least get the process started. So if everything checks out in the green, we don't miss a step and we could still close on the property and we could still do all of that.
I'm sorry?
Are we doing this by ordinance? That's what my next question
was.
I thought this was
right. You're right. My mistake.
This
you're
is
right,
a resolution, right. I thought.
No, this is an ordinance.
It's an ordinance.
Yeah, you're right. Along these side notes, and I know I've asked Andy for it, but I don't know if the park committee has heard. Has she received anything from the bank for the extension?
No, because Sandy's contention was, the bank wants to see a commitment from the borough in the form of an ordinance or some sort of agreement that we're going to move forward with this before they're willing to put anything down on paper. Now, she also told me that they have no intention of retracting the line of credit or anything like that. So it's kind of like a good faith type of, you know, handshake agreement.
Well, yeah, but there's language in the agreement, too, that if they can't get financing, it's irrelevant anyway.
Well, I mean, I guess what we're saying is if there is a cost associated with introducing the ordinance and we still have information that's up in the air, then it does make sense to defer introduction until we have confirmations from both Bauman and the Wines that they're going to agree to do the additional survey work. Is that what we're saying? That's pretty much accurate, right?
If we don't hear back from the professionals and we don't hear confirmation from the Wines, there's no point in spending time and money to introduce.
So if we get the information back and it's in the affirmative or whatever, we can introduce. If we don't get the information back from Bauman and the Wines, or the Wines say we're not doing it, we don't introduce and the whole project goes away. Is everybody comfortable with that?
For clarification, the whole project goes away, or after the 16th they come to us and say they have all the information. They can't give us a definite answer before that Thursday.
Get delayed. It's fine.
Okay. I'm getting the impression it's just going to be delayed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, saying is one of the options is the whole project goes away. Like if the Wines say they're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's
okay. Right. Then the whole project goes away.
But if they say they need to the 20th to get it done, well,
that's fine.
Second.
Second.
He motioned that. Didn't you make that a motion?
I think I did.
That's not so.
Okay. Any discussion? Everybody understand the motion?
And just like I said, review the stuff because it's all there. If you have questions and comments, direct them to me. I'm sure Bauman might have some comments also. So.
Okay. So if I remember correctly, the ordinance, the motion is to have the manager prepare an ordinance. And you will get back to the manager, or the manager will hear from Joe Bauman and the bid and the property owners by the Thursday prior to our meeting, so it can be put on the agenda. And if he doesn't hear back favorably, then it will not be put on the agenda.
Get put on this right.
And that's what your motion is.
Correct.
Okay. Everybody understand? Good. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Can you just do me one favor and CC the park committee and
the
park barn to Bauman?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to email it.
Anything else, Victor?
No.
Somebody that's not usually asked, Mr. Attorney, do you have any comments?
No.
And Christine, no? Okay, and I have nothing, so entertain a motion.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
I
Yeah, I mean, he talked back to that. That's right. Well, kept asking him questions all night, and then they complained he wasn't responding. Now he's complaining about that.
Yeah.
Oh.